Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio. Excuse me. Welcome to the show. Today we're talking about the angel of power and authority. How can this angel make you a leader? So it's like the ideal of the situation. I also have a guest with me today. it's one of those freaking... I am really sorry for being late on the show, but for some reason, I have no idea what was going on. Every time I would call Block Talk Radio through Skype, it would tell me that there's nobody home. Had to leave a message, so that was kind of weird in itself. And I'm going to bring my guest on. His name is Kevin Lewis. And basically a lot of things on... for some reason, I cannot get my head straight because it's just the ideal of being late on the show I don't like doing. So let me just bring Kevin on and welcome Kevin to the show. Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I do not know.
Well, you know, it's called being fluid, man. You just got to roll with it.
Got to go with the flow.
Just got to roll with it.
That was like freaking out there for a minute because I was like, I call Block Talk Radio and they go, please leave a message. I'm like, let me leave a message. I've never done that before. I have no idea what's going on. The only thing
When I called in a few times, it hung up on me a couple times. So
why?
I was just trying.
All I know is I went on this thing this morning and started an account with I can't think of the name now. Must be a really important radio show. Radio
station. 1,000 mics or something.
Yeah, 1,000 mics, and I just figure you can use your Skype from many locations, not just Block Talk Radio and everything. But just calling from my area. So I was like, okay, I can't see how that would bother anything. So what I did was I went in and punched in the 800 number for Skype to Block Talk Radio from my account and just did it that way. And next thing I know, I went right in. I'm like, I have no idea because I actually have 2 shows here on Block Talk Radio. And I did have a problem with that, so all I had to do was come up with a different name. But it was different. So, Kevin, tell us about yourself and let everybody else know who you are.
Well, I am an intuitive life coach, spiritual counselor, teacher, author, public speaker, and that's a little bit. That's what I do. I do everything from the aspect of in the middle. I've studied every religion there. Yeah, from in the middle. Because I like to call it middle ground. Because that's where you find every way to. That's where you find everything and every way to build. Whether it's a friendship, a relationship, business relationship, it doesn't matter. You build everything from middle ground. So that's where I take myself from, and that's middle ground. And that's where I teach. That's where I coach. That's where I write. That's where I do everything. I've studied every religion there is out there, not to the point of being considered a biblical scholar or a scholar of different things, but to the point of understanding that all of these religions in themselves – come from different places to take you to the same place. So I just have studied that, and in my life path to this point, I have learned pretty extensively how the human mind works, how we have programmed it, how we can reprogram it, and we can do it every minute or every moment. And to get people to stay in that center place of being able to work on center ground for themselves and to be in the moment, to be aware of themselves. So I also help people develop their intuitive skills. So there's a lot of angles I work in.
Yeah. And you, I was going to say something. I swear, yeah, trying to get back with that flow thing going. With the situation, the law of attraction, it seems like the biggest thing going on right now, the secret and all those things. I mean, how do you feel? Do you think it's been kind of like exploited in some ways, being pushed too much, giving just enough information just to get them to come to you, or, you know, not to you personally,
well,
saying,
look,
to get them.
Right, but I understand what you're saying. The law of attraction, the law of attraction in itself is one of the oldest taught things. The wording has been changed, but the law of attraction is a very small piece of the teachings of karma. It's a small piece of karma. It's that simple. Put out, you get back what you put out. You know, cause and effect. The same thing. They just put in the secret. They just put a little Hollywood to it to make it seem more mysterious, to make it seem more interesting, make it seem more like something that's been held back from you for years and years and years, when it hasn't been. So the law of attraction, it is important. Do I believe it's been exploited? I don't know about that, because it's brought a lot more people around to expand their mind a little more. The whole fact that they stopped at the law of attraction and couldn't figure out how to Hollywoodize the rest of karma, that's a disappointing thing, but that's coming too. So the law of attraction itself is very important, but you have to remember the law of attraction doesn't work with just your conscious thoughts and just what you say. It works with your subconscious thought powerfully than you can imagine. It's like, you know, it's like asking that question. One of my favorite questions to ask somebody is, if you knew that every thought was a prayer and God answered every prayer, or if you knew that every thought was sent out there and the law of attraction responds to those thoughts, what would you do with your thoughts? It's a strong question to ask somebody. It takes them into a whole point of reflection, because the thoughts are not just what you consciously think or what you consciously say. The thoughts are the ones that are playing in the back of your mind you don't even realize are playing, because you've programmed that thought process. And that gets thrown out there and you receive it back again.
Back and forth. So it's got to be a continuous cycle going back and forth to get what you want.
Absolutely. Pretty much it's a back and forth thing. If you get what you want, you've got to realize what thoughts are being tossed out there. You've got to realize what you're actually thinking on a regular basis, not just what you consciously think. Yeah.
Right.
You've got to really pay attention to those subconscious, automatic, autonomic thoughts.
Like we were talking before about people, when you focus on people's, if you actually would focus on their mind and watch what their mouth was saying, usually they don't match up. So pretty much you're saying that.
Really what it is if you actually, what doesn't match up most often is what they feel and what they think. That's one of the biggest conflicts you'll ever have. When your thoughts don't match your feeling. And I don't mean emotions, I mean feeling. You know, the I love you, I want to be with you, but I'm not going to tell everybody because I don't want to look like an idiot, because you don't follow along this, or, you know, whatever. Those things come into play, and that's the biggest conflict you'll ever have, is between the heart and the mind. Because the heart will lead you, and no matter what, your mind plays a serious role in your actions, but the heart will lead you. So if you get in that heart-mind conflict, you are walking conflicted all the time. Well, your heart's saying this, and I'm going to lead you in this direction. Well, my thoughts are saying this, and your thoughts are the ones that are being directed out there to receive back. So you're not going to receive back to equal your feeling. So you stay in this conflict on a regular basis all the time until you get your thoughts in check and in line with your heart.
Right. So it's going to be lined up, or it's not going to work. So if you're center thinking, so if you're center thinking, I want $150, but you don't feel you can, I wasn't going to put it, you feel that you really can't, then you're contradicting what you're actually thinking. Because your feelings are saying, I don't want it.
Well, a lot of times your feelings will be saying, I want $150. But here's an example. Your feeling and your whole conscious thought is, I want to be a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of the mind, the program you've got going on in your subconscious is that millionaires suck. Why? Because they're mean. They don't give anything away. They're looked at bad. They're talked about bad. You have these programmed thoughts running around about what millionaires are. Or what it really means to have $1 million. You know, you can only get $1 million if you screw people over. So you feel and you want, you desire this $1 million, but the thoughts that are going up that direct what's coming to you is saying the complete opposite. So you're not going to get it until you straighten out the subconscious mind, your autonomic, automatic thinking.
Okay. No, I was trying to think of the same thing, too. The idea of catching myself focusing on $400 a day, and then at the same time I'm also focusing on if I'm going to be able to pay this or pay that, which is contradicting the first part, wouldn't you say?
Right. It's an absolute contradiction. Because you're going, yes, I want $400. Yeah. You're consciously thinking abundance. You're subconsciously living in lack.
Mm-hmm.
So your conflict is there. And the only way you can handle that, there's a couple ways to handle it, but the biggest way to handle it is that when you catch that thought, I can't pay, or I wonder if I can pay, you have to catch that and go, no way, I can pay.
Mm-hmm.
It will work out no matter what. It will work out for the best, so can I pay it does not exist here. Secondary to that, you can go into a meditation. You can create within your mind a scenario and watch in third party, watch what your mind does and fix what your mind is doing at that time within the scenario.
Yeah. No, I do have a tendency to watch people and listen to what they say, and they're all sitting there saying, I had this one lady particular was saying that, I said, you want to be extremely happy? And she goes, yeah. And if it happens in the future, that's good. But right now, I'm content with feeling okay. And I'm sitting there going, wow, what a contradicting statement. The universe is sitting there going, okay, I have no clue what this woman wants. Because she's thinking the future.
The universe doesn't get confused. Answers do not.
Right.
No, I understand. Right. It's an easy way to verbalize this for people to understand. But realize, anybody, the universe does not get confused.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you what you ask for. The thing is, if you ask more regularly for one thing than the...
Hello? 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 Oh, come on. What the heck happened, guys? This has been a really crazy day, and I don't know what's going on. It could be ice. Could it be because these ice storms are really kicking everybody in the butt? And Skype's having a trouble with the whole thing? Because, I mean, I've been calling and dealing with things and dealing with everything that's been going on, and I'm trying to figure out. That didn't make any sense because we're sitting there going in the conversation, and all of a sudden we lost everything. So I'm sort of looking at the situation of the angel of power and authority. Now, the angel of power and authority is one of the 22 angels we were talking about before last week. And it's one of those things of something else that's going to drive us crazy is, let's see here. See, we found ourselves discussing everything from the angels to Zoodianism. And just all kinds of stuff been going on. So when I started thinking about this angel, power and authority, it's the idea of taking back the power, which means taking back your life instead of constantly letting the world dictate exactly what's going to happen. Divine consciousness is not something that we have to create out of a personal sense of being. We do not dissemble or remake ourselves in the image of God. We are already that perfect image, so our function is to arise and come to ourselves, which is what I said before when we're sort of talking about taking back your power, which means reclaiming your life. And then, by reclaiming your life, you have authority over this plane, this earthly plane. And I'm just sort of looking at the situation going, okay, it's so... In this rising up in consciousness, we may see within our vision a door leading to the sacred place, which we've talked about before. Going to the sacred place is the idea of going to the 22, going to the counselor room, however you want to sit and look at the situation of putting those two things together, okay? And when you focus on the whole thing, it can drive you crazy if you let it, but it's the idea of going up a flow and letting yourself being taken there. This might sound crazy in some ways, of actually taking back the power and reclaiming your life, is the idea of letting go. Because if you sit and look at the situation of people's everyday lives, they're constantly trying to control everything. In the process, they're stressing themselves out, and they're always trying to make something happen, instead of looking at the situation, realizing what it's all about, and then taking that situation and making the proper decision, even if it's just the ideal of understanding that what you're doing at this moment might not be the thing that you're supposed to be doing in the first place because of all the difficulties and hitting the wall and actually realizing that you might have made a decision to do what you're doing because of what society said you should have been doing. You know, the idea of responsibility and those other things and not being true to yourself. Because even the Bible, it says, thyself be true. And if you're not being true to yourself, then you're having all these conflicts and craziness going in your life. To understand this process, let's look at the story of a man called Adam. And no, we're not referring to the biblical character. Adam had been on a spiritual path for years, but he seemed to be traveling mostly through the valleys. There were a few hills now, and then he caught glimpses of the kingdom, but in spite of his warm, wonderful meditations, he was still dodging the arrows of third-dimensional living. Then one day, not realizing that the downward slope of his journey, he found himself in a deep ravine, and an arrow found its mark, and another, then another. The arrows did not kill him, they just made him suffer. One came from the bough of insufficiency, one off the spring of an unkept promise, another from the deadly aim of spiritual pride. This was not the first time in his spiritual life that his vulnerability had been exposed, but it was the last as far as he was concerned. It was a now or never situation, and he chose the former. He went into meditation and rose to the higher plane and found himself before the narrow opening leading into the fourth dimensional consciousness. He stood before the door, and in his meditation, he called forth the holy fire spirit to burn away the dross. Then he reached deeply into mind and heart to bring forth every feeling of guilt ever experienced to be cast upon the fire, continuing until every last vestige of that insidious emotion was turned to ash, and he was guiltless But the arrows continued to fly. Next, he tackled fear. And every insane scenario his mind could produce was released to the love of God to be dissolved and rewritten by the infinite thinker, our God. Finally, he felt invulnerable as all four body, I don't know why I can't talk today, but it seems like we are. As all four body and apprehensions had been removed from consciousness, and he was fearless, but the arrows continued to fly. He then called on the light of remembrance, and he meditated on the glory and the grandeur of the Master Self he was in truth, the Holy One of God. The thread spun by ego slowly began to unwind in the light of the presence, and the ideal of his divine identity was impressing upon consciousness. But the arrows continued to fly. Then one day, perhaps out of desperation, he tried to crash through the opening, but found it impassable. He fell to his knees and cried out, What else would you have me to do? And the voice said, Love the least among you as you do your holy self, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. For the selfhood is indivisible. This is my commandment, and a second one follows. Commit your mind to God. Surrender your spirit to the Holy One within, and the crucifixion will be finished. Adam obeyed and searched his mind for all those whom he considered least in consciousness, those who had been difficult to forgive, those who had attacked him in the past, everyone he had ever judged as living in the shadows and not fulfilling their potential, even those with a seemingly animal nature who were wrecking havoc on the planet Earth, even the ones who were wreaking havoc on planet Earth. He began to love them all with an adoring intensity that had once been reserved for only the Holy Self within. And soon he felt a bonding with all souls, and the sense of separation dissolved into wholeness. Now he was ready for the final act, vividly imagining himself on the cross of the third dimensional world, secured with the nails of human beliefs deeply buried in the unconscious chambers of mind. He readied himself for the moment of transition. He began to give up everything that had possessed him in this world, and everything that he had possessed, including all the truths he thought he knew. Taking a complete inventory of his life, the past, present, and future, the good, bad, and indifferent, he surrendered all, even though those whose love he treasured with every breath. After every person, place, or thing in the phenomenal world had been released, it was time for the final commitment. In a matter of moments, he gathered all the energy, force, and power that he could to be drawn into consciousness, and then he spoke those mythical words of total release. Father, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. It was done, and in Adam's vision he saw the cross vanish instantly, and the wall of separation was torn in two from top to bottom, and he walked into the light. And there were no arrows. There was only deep silence. There was a difference between the old Adam and the new Adam. Before, everything depended on his own understanding of truth, on the right thoughts that had to be held in consciousness in order to be outpictured. Even though he had felt the presence within, he still believed he had the responsibility for working out his own salvation, for discovering the truth that would set him free from the problems he perceived in his personal world. There was always the search for the missing key that would unlock the doors to the Father's storehouse of all good. But now a shift in mind and heart had taken place. Through the ultimate surrender, Adam had placed his consciousness under the dominion and authority of the Holy Spirit, Holy Self, within that point of power embodying the will of God, the vision of Christ, the creative activity of Spirit. The presence of God was now able to think, feel, and act through him. And he began to understand that the will of God was already done, that it was seen in the mind of the divine self, and that it was being carried forward into manifestation by the out-pressing of Spirit. His function now was simply to be of one accord with his divine process. So we sort of look at the situation of someone taking control of their life, but also at the same time releasing it too, so therefore Spirit could work through him instead of trying to manipulate the whole situation by saying, okay, I feel it inside, but not really letting it be his guide or actually let it go. The idea of letting it go is, that's the word, let it go. You let go and go with the flow, and therefore God will take you where you need to go, and God's Spirit, however you feel about the situation. But it is a powerful thing, because we're seeing a look at the power too. The angel of power and authority. That angel is, the planetary energy of Aries, and it's the emperor. But if you look at the emperor, a good emperor, a good king, is one who, I guess you would say, works in unity with everyone for the best, but also is open to other interpretations. So I guess it was like George Washington. He said it was a great commander because he would come up with ideals, but if someone else had a better ideal, he learned that to go with the best course of action, which wasn't always his, so he let it go. And actually the power of authority, the angel of power and authority is also Horus, which is Egyptian, Hercules, and Jehovah. So, I mean, we have such a look at the unity. Boy, I'm losing my voice again. The angel of power and authority's purpose is great energy and determination, strong decisiveness with radiance, reliance on the will of God in every situation. So we have that going on. We actually lost everybody there for a minute, and now we've cleared up, and I think Kevin's back, so let's bring him back on. Oh, hey, how you doing, Kevin?
Well, I'm doing all right. Now that things aren't hanging up on me, and I still can't get your chat room listed, but whatever.
Yeah, I was sitting there going over the whole thing too, and I was like, I have no idea what the heck is going on. Some kind of planetarial thing or something. I'm sitting there going,
who knows?
It's weird. Every time I push a button, I'm scared to push a button anymore because I don't know what's going to happen. So we have an explosion or something like that. I guess we should start thinking good, huh?
Well, yeah, of course. It's just the way it happens. It's just what happens.
That's what they tell me. But
that's right. It's
yeah.
just a test run. It's just a test run for Thursday.
You remind me of somebody that Dr. Drew and your voice. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm not really sure who Dr. Drew is.
That's the doctor who has the thing, the reality show on television helping people with drug addictions. And
oh, you're talking about isn't he like the celebrity intervention or celebrity rehab or something like that?
Yeah, he is. Well, I used to listen to him. He used to be on the radio with that one guy. I can't remember his name, but he had the man's show or something like that, and they were on there together. And he was actually on the radio. They used to have a radio show together. I don't know if they still have one or not, but Drew would come up with the logical way, and then this other guy would come up with what I guess the average Joe would think about and put them two together and come up with solutions for people calling in. I thought it was very interesting, but
that's kind of what I do on Thursday nights on LA Talk Radio with Robert Newman, my co-host on that show. We kind of do the same thing. Yeah. So, which is kind of cool.
So if someone wanted to listen to your show, how would they go about doing that?
Well, it's on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time, California time.
California time.
And it's at latalkradio.com at 7 o'clock on Channel 1. And they would just go there, choose Channel 1, and click Listen Live. But you can also go to our show page there and get the replays, just as well I do replays on Blog Talk, like what we did last Thursday.
Right.
I'm replaying throughout the week on Blog Talk Radio, so which is like blogtalk.com/KevinLewis or something like that. I don't even remember what my blog talk link is or how that turns out. So, but we replay them on Blog Talk Radio every week. And then this past week we had a high profile chef. He's a chef for a lot of the superstar basketball players in Denver. Was the chef for the inaugural balls at the Smithsonian when Obama was elected. Has cooked for the DNC, the Democrat National Convention. A lot of different stuff. Extremely good chef. And we were talking about the fear of success. So it's a great show.
People kind of freak out about that, don't they? Don't they kind of freak out when you sit there and tell them that you have a fear of success and they're like, oh, I love success. I want success. And it's like they go right to defense mode. And not even thinking about it. They go right back there and go, nope, I think you're wrong. And they never think about it. And it's one of the things that it's a great process of just listening to yourself. And sometimes somebody's talking to you has a tendency to reflect back to you as well. So it's one of those things of, what's up? You go, listen. And they don't seem to do that. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I'm just making sure. People keep popping in and popping out, so you never know. But, no, I'm just saying, I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and right now, which is really good about the situation, is when we have a reflection going on, but we're learning from it. We're not scared of it. So when we see something, we take time, we look at ourselves, and we ask, okay, there's something being reflected back to me. So is it what I really see? And also in the same token, when you see reflections, they're not always bad reflections. It's also a reflection back to you saying, okay, you are a good person. You're a loving person, caring. But I'm just saying, with the situation, we had this one where I was just like, she was just flying off the handle, venting, and she was screaming at the universe and said, okay, I've done all this stuff. I've worked on this. I've done the meditations. I just keep doing everything and over and over and over again. And I said, she goes, I can't figure out what the problem is. It can't be me. And I'm sitting there going, but that's probably the one thing you're not looking at that could be the solution. And then she kind of go, well, I don't think so. And then she hung up. So,
well, most people are not afraid. Most people are afraid to look at a solution outside of what they know. And it's really this whole, if they don't know how to get there, then it is so scary. They don't want to attempt any other way because they don't know where it's going to go.
Right.
So instead of actually going, okay, you're right, I could look at it this way, or I could look at it that way, I could approach it this way, I could approach it that way, they just simply do it their way, and they don't look outside of it. And if anybody recommends looking outside of their way, then they will shut down, period. And that's really just the whole fear of not knowing how it's going to go or not knowing really how to do that.
And some people have a tendency to stick, they have a tendency to stick themselves in that situation too, because of being scared of success. So they keep doing the same thing over and over again because they're scared to step out of that box to even admit to themselves that, hey, I can't go any further because I'm not allowing myself to do that. I'm actually standing in my own way.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Aside from just standing in your own way, the other thing you do is you're living you're living in a crazy world. Look at the definition of insanity. What is it? Definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So if you're not willing to look outside of what you've done in the past for a different way to get to your resolution or to get resolution in your situation, you're just going to run the same pattern over and over and over again. And you're going to come to the same fall over and over again.
Right. I just want to tell everybody that throughout the show, we are doing readings and answering questions. I am, and Kevin's going to give you what he feels intuitively. Am I right or wrong? That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
right?
That's fine. And just understand that type of stuff is done for you, not for.
Right.
Yeah. The best way to explain it is I will use it for you to help yourself, but other than that, I won't do anything other than that.
Okay, no problem. And if you want to call in here and ask a couple questions, the number is 646-721-9031. If you're in the chat room, you also see the information in the chat room that for private readings for myself. I see Kevin, you're in the chat room too, aren't you?
I am now, yeah.
I see Kevin Lewis in there. I was like, okay, finally made it.
Yeah,
the chat room works now. Great. I mean, it's one of those things where some of these things I just don't understand because they should be working. And I've gone through the whole specs. I've even shut the computer down, started everything all over again. So, you know, we're hoping for the best.
Right.
I'm not like some of the people out there who said, you ever heard the people say this? I'm expecting the worst to happen, but hoping for the best. And I'm sitting there going, oh,
well,
gosh,
you're
going to
get the worst no matter what. Yeah.
Right.
Don't get yourself in that mindset. You know, I know it's going to work this way, but I hope this one. Well, yeah, you might as well throw that hope in the river and watch it float down because it ain't going to do nothing for you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I had a lady, I was down at the store down here, and I've been trying to get this lady to come down and get a reading for me and do a session because I feel like a session would be really important to help her. I think she's looking at doing a reading, but I tell people, if you come to work with me, I said, think about it, an hour reading is like, I actually want to change them and start calling them sessions instead of readings. But I was talking to her, and she said, I want a relationship so badly, I just want one. I said, ooh, don't do that. And she goes, what? I said, that's just kind of like throwing out the universe and saying, I don't care what I get, just as long as I get one. And I guess that was pretty kind of fearful because I know where I live at. And I know the potential that she can attract with saying that.
Well, yeah. But see, I also like to remind people within what's called the 12, it depends on how you look at it, 12 sacred principles of karma, the 12 principles of karma, whatever. In karma, you have to understand there is this thing that I call the are you sure part.
Right.
What that is you say, okay, I want a relationship and I don't care. So you're going to get, and you could say that being universe, you can say that being God, you can say that being whatever you want to call it. I don't care. But that is going to respond to you with, are you sure? Let's try this one.
Yeah.
Just like,
No, go ahead, sorry.
Well, no, go ahead. I was just saying that, so be very careful about what you wish for. That's the other thing. A friend of mine loves to say, and that is, if you don't know how to pray, I don't want you praying for me. If you don't know how to pray, I don't want you praying for me.
No kidding. I was sitting there looking at this situation of when she said that. One of the things I was thinking about when she said that was she's not really doing any work per se. She just caught up in the world. She goes to work. She comes home. She sits there and probably watches television, that kind of thing. But she has this opinion that she's still, I would say, by not doing the work and releasing and letting go of a lot of things, what's going on is those thoughts are still there. And whatever happened in this past relationship that you had are still there, too. So when she throws out the universe, I just want one, the universe is going to go, okay, your subconscious mind says, and you're thinking about this past bad relationship you got, so more than likely she's going to get that. Because when I was talking about the angels, I was saying the reason it's so important to have these gates and work with these angels is because it's like the law of attraction. These angels are still doing what they're supposed to do, except for they're using the blueprint of your subconscious mind. So if you have negative thoughts in your subconscious mind, you're going to get negative results. If you got positive, thoughts there, you're going to get a positive outcome. So I said, well, the idea of thinking about that. Go ahead.
They're going to do exactly what you asked for. They're going to do it. And again, it can fall down to angels. It can fall down to God. It can fall down to universe. It can fall down to whatever terminology you want to apply to it. All of them are going to do what you ask them for. So that woman that says, I want a relationship. I don't care. I want a relationship. Okay, well, you want a relationship. Let's get the details from what you're thinking. And here's your details.
Right.
You you know, and whatever you've been running over in your head. You know, you could say, I want a relationship, but I don't want one like I had before. I don't want this. I don't want that. I don't want this. I don't want that. Don't is not something that is calibrated within what comes to you. The subject, mm-hmm. which is where the intensity is what responds and comes to you. You can say, I don't want this. Well, you're going to get it anyway.
Yeah, because you're thinking about it passionately.
Because right, you're thinking. The subject, the main concentration of that statement is what you're going to get.
Yeah. Because I was sitting there talking to this lady, too. I said, you think about all the things you're thinking about that you don't want, but you're very passionate about those things you don't want. So it's resonating with that energy, too, as well. So it's going to make it happen even quicker. Excuse me. Jeez. I don't know what I was thinking. But I'm just there looking at the situation. A lot of people I hear say that all the time, and just, you know, they say they want to change their lives, but all they keep doing is manifesting the same stuff over and over again. And then when you step in or say something to them, they come to you, they ask the questions, so you're not interfering or butting into the business. I mean, they're actually asking you these questions, and you're mm-hmm. trying to say, well, I can help you, but not in the sense of doing it for you.
Right, no, because you can't do it for somebody. You can't do it for them at all. They have to do it themselves, and they have to find a way to step out of what they've been doing all along. If they don't like mm-hmm. the results, they've got to change what they're doing. And they got to change. Generally, it changes in your thoughts. You got it, and not generally, all the time. You have to change the thoughts. Mm-hmm. If you don't change the thoughts, you're not going to change anything else. It's all going to be the same. The world, right. Your body, everything is going to respond to the same setup. I mean, hell, your words follow your thoughts. Everything mm-hmm. starts with a thought, period.
That's what I was focusing on, too. I was talking last week when we were doing these shows and saying in the process of the hardest thing for people to do sometimes is you focus, you get everything right, you get the energy and the feeling in there. And then when it happens, you stop doing everything.
Right. And you go back to your old ways. You can't
right.
go back to your old ways.
Right. So you sit here and look at the thing. So you go, okay, why did everything stop?
Right.
Or as in your thing, you stop because you're getting the good stuff.
Right. And go along with your subject. Go along with your subject line, the angel of power and authority. That is only going to be of assistance to you when you have it. Cannot think. You can't think I'm powerless. You can't think I have no authority. You have to think I have the power over this situation. I have
I'm
the authority
Superman.
To make the change. And you don't have to think you're Superman, because then you start thinking about tights and a cape and all that crap.
Well,
that.
That's mine.
No, that's,
that's
yours.
My
okay.
visualization. Okay, that's my visualization.
Well, there you go. Your visualization of Superman. Well, that works. But if it works for you.
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Great.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's one thing we do tell. When I do readings and I work with people in sessions, I tell them, I said, this is what you got to do. You said, take the tools and you do like I do. I got books everywhere. But what I've come up with is a way of reading all these books and information and get some foundation. And then I come up with my own way, what works for me. But
that people have to remember, too. It doesn't matter who says something to you. It doesn't matter where you get the information. You keep what works for you. The rest of it, you either throw it in the trash, or what I do is I put it on a shelf. Mentally put it on a shelf, because there may be a time that I need that. There may also be a time that I can use that to help somebody else. So I don't generally throw it in the trash. I generally stick it on a shelf and wait till another day.
Right.
It may come up, maybe used to assist somebody else.
Right.
So you keep what works for you, and you don't use the rest. Use what works for you, and if it doesn't work for you, then look for something else. But if you want to change the outcome, you want to feel the power, you want to feel the authority, you've got to change what you've been doing if you don't feel it now.
Yeah, exactly, because I was kind of talking about the same thing myself, and I was going over things with people, and I tell them, I have a tendency to observe a lot. I've never taken any psychology, but people swear to that I have taken psychology, and I said, no, I look at the format and say, what is psychology? The study of human behavior. So if I study human behavior, then why do I have to go to school? I already did. I've always think I've always thought of the world and this lifetime is actually as a classroom anyway, and you're constantly learning every day. So who
right.
you were, heck, who you were yesterday, you're probably changed in some way because of all the influence and everything that's happened to you and where you've been and what you've done and how you've interacted with everybody.
Who you are, what you do, everything about you changes with influence on one condition.
Mm-hmm.
You accept it. You accept it. You have to remember that everything that happens around you, every piece of influence that can be there for you, you have the right to accept or reject. That is the power and the authority over you. So just because it's said to you does not mean you have to accept it. So understanding, no matter what's said, it could be said. You don't get mad about it, generally. You don't get mad about it. Because, and I say generally because I still, to this day, things will happen and I will still play this automatic anger thing. I will say I'm getting better at it, but I will play this automatic anger thing. And then have to catch myself. And I'll catch myself at one point or another, but I'll catch myself. And I'll change it. And I'll work on it. And then it gets better, and it gets better. And then it gets to a point where it doesn't happen. But to have the power and the authority and to get the assistance from the angel of power and authority is to exercise it yourself. Because that's what you have to do. Because they're not going to do it for you. God's not going to do it for you. Universe, Allah, whatever terminology, is not going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself, and they will assist you along the way.
Yes. But yeah, I was telling a friend of mine too, and everybody says the same thing. God, God will help you. I said, I understand that to a point, but you still have to make a decision to accept that help.
Well,
so it still comes
you have
back.
To make the decision. You have to make the decision to accept the help. But even more than that, you have to make the decision to make it happen.
Yeah,
you have to decide to do it. But then, in deciding to do it, the decision for assistance comes with that. You understand?
So actually, they're actually working through you when you make
the
decision.
They work through you, and it's in conjunction.
No, I understand completely. The reason I understand it so clearly is because I've noticed sometimes that I have not. So, and I think a lot of people have too as well. Last week, I think the theme was people coming to the realization what they knew that they had to do, but also making the decision to follow through with it. So they already knew, and they knew what was up. They saw it so clearly, and they just couldn't bring themselves to actually follow through until somebody came along and said, it's okay. But
they got some permission or whatever. But a lot of times it has to do with the whole fear behind what they're doing. And the fear of the unknown is the strongest fear there is. And it's like, I don't know if I want to do it this way because I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I don't know. You have to at some point, and that point is going to be your decision, but you have to at some point say, okay, I'm going to do this different. I'm going to try that. If it doesn't work, I'm going to step away from it. But I have that right. You also
that's
have
the
right to do it the
too.
Same way every time.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I mean, when I've done readings with people, they start walking out the door and they go, so what should I do? I was like, hey, I'm sorry, but, we did our thing. We had our session. I mean, you got all this information, this knowledge. But I said, once you walk out that door, it's best that you listen to yourself and see what you should do and then go with the flow. And there is no right or wrong answer. It's what you want to do at that time. You make the decision and you do what you want to do. I said, because there is this thing called free will, so do that. I said, I'm not here to tell you what you can and what you shouldn't do or that kind of stuff. I was just here to give you the messages and really go through a lot of really hard sessions with people to help them understand what is really going on. Is the ideal of, I'm trying to put this in, put it in the right way, of somebody sitting there saying, what's the right thing to do? I said, well, okay, what do you think the right thing is? Well, they go, well, is it that easy? To tell you the truth, yes, it is. The idea of listening and that direction. And I've always told people, when you go inwards and really focus and know yourself, the answers come to you very quickly. because it seemed like there's something about you blocking everything from coming to you. And then once you open that door and say, okay, I'm ready to receive, that's just not talking about the brand new car or the brand new house. That's also everything that comes along with it. I'm ready to receive the message, the guidance, the realization, to look past illusions, just all that. I mean, it can go on forever. But you know, the idea, it's like opening a big old door and going, okay, so that's what my life's supposed to look like. No, that is your life. So what are you going
to
do?
Okay, I have to step away for a minute, but I'll be right back, okay?
Oh, no problem.
All right.
We'll see you when you get back, okay? All righty. So we'll just go in. There was a couple people in the chat room. I was trying to figure out some things. Well, Spirit Baby left, and see, I was going to answer some questions for her, but sometimes, guys, you got to understand one thing. Some questions that come along of asking what is a person's going to be this, this, and this, and this, and this. And then I answer, this is what this person is going to be. And that's what I see. So therefore, they ask me any more questions about nationality or something on the same level as that question as you'd already asked. To me, picking up what I picked up, it's not going to change. It could change in the future, excuse me, but not likely in the same reading, okay? With the situation of things working the way they work, until a decision is made, and we were talking about this yesterday, the idea of having abundance is being abundant, and thinking abundant, and feeling abundant, and then in the process of feeling and seeing and putting all these things together, then you're going to attract the opportunities to maintain feeling abundantly happy, abundantly fulfilled, abundantly engulfed with money, whatever it is. But you have to take those conscious steps to be those things before you can attract those things, because like I've done before with relationships, I've told you to write down a nice long list, get very detailed about the kind of person you want to be with, what kind of relationship you want to be in, even to the point of what kind of wedding you want to have, what kind of on and on, the situation of that, your wedding, your house, how you're going to live together. I mean, even to the point where you get down and look at the situation of what kind of, how you're going to decorate your bedroom together, And you put these two things together, and well, not more than two things, but you put them all together. But you see, what you have to understand one thing, too, is in order to find love, you have to love, and you have to feel loved. In the situation of focus. Oh, hi.
look at when I showed up.
I didn't realize you were there. But I was there saying, but one thing I said, you have to sit there and go, what I was going to say was, when you do your list, that's great. Now I want you to look at the list, and I want to ask, and then ask yourself, are you those things too? If you're not, the good news is you can be, but you have to make a conscious decision to understand what that means. And what I was saying to Kevin was, I was sitting here trying to focus on earning at least between $2,400 and $4,000 a week, which I feel like that's what I feel like I should be going for. So, of course, it's attainable.
Okay, whoa. Hold on.
Okay.
Which is what you just said, the way you said it, and the way you stumbled yourself, you got to work on your whole belief of that amount of money and how capable you are at making it and the possibility of it.
Oh, I know, because I was sitting there thinking about that earlier today, and as I was focusing on it, I started thinking about how can you sit there and do that if you're still thinking about being scared when the middle of the month comes and the bills are due, and you're sitting there going, I wonder if I'll have enough money. And then you're sitting there going, I'm going to be blessed with $2,400 this week. That's contradicting the first. And I was sitting there going, ooh,
right.
That's
you sort
true,
of doubt.
I am. Yeah.
Yes.
So I sit there and thought,
see, and
yeah,
that's another part of catching that and going, okay, wait a minute. The are you sure moment.
Yeah.
Are you sure? In the middle of the month shows up. You're not sure if you're going to pay the bills. You're not sure if you're going to have that. That is your are you sure moment.
Yeah. And I was actually thinking about that too, because I've never had that. I really have not had that problem.
Right.
Of paying those bills. I'm sitting there going, so where did the fear come from? More likely it's something. As I've always said, that everything you're thinking today is a manifestation of thoughts that you used to have yesterday. So if you want to change tomorrow, then you need it today.
Yeah, you're not going to change today. You will change tomorrow.
I'm going to try.
You can change tomorrow. Well, you're not going to change today. You're living something you've already created.
Well, you're
that's
not true.
Change. Okay.
That's true. I'm just
you
saying,
can't possibly change tomorrow.
Right.
You can definitely change next week.
Mm.
You can definitely change next month.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, one, are you patient enough to see next week, next month, or
right.
are you going to give up before it even gets there to see the creation?
There's that. Yep, and there's that word, patience, and that one's been giving
yes.
me problems in the last couple of weeks.
Patience
so
has been giving me problems.
Little...
Patience has been giving me problems the past 39 years. That's the number
okay.
one thing I have to work on, I still have to work on, is patience. Patience
and
a couple
things. And also, this thing about this too, the ideal patience, the reason I always say work about patience is the ideal, not the ideal patience waiting for something to happen. Could also be having patience and quit pushing things to the point where...
Well, pushing is a bad thing.
Tell,
pushing is always a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always told my clients when you push, what happens? It usually gets further away.
Yeah.
So think about that, and they're going, you sure about that? I'm like, I don't know. The law of gravity always told me when you push on something, it usually goes the opposite. It usually goes further away from me. If it helps you understand it more, when you feel like that's freak out when you say it pushes it away. Okay, well,
right.
I'm still saying gravity has a tendency. Every time I think about push, just the word push, I see something going away from me. So
here's how I like to remind you that push sucks. This is how I like to remind you that push sucks.
Right,
push
okay.
sucks because you have done nothing but humanize the divine. You've tainted
yeah.
divine by pushing. When you allow
mm-hmm.
divine to do its thing, then it comes as it's supposed to, the way it's supposed to. The moment you push it, you're humanizing it, and you're screwing it up. Period.
Mm-hmm. So we just
patience for me is one of the most aggravating things in the world. It's not as
mm-hmm.
aggravating now as it was before, and it's getting less and less aggravating every day. However, patience is the one that trips me up every time.
Right. However, you know, I like that part. However, it's still, but not as much. I'm just saying, I remember listening to. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead. You remember listening? You remember listening. You were saying you remember listening.
Oh, yes. I got to start that, don't I? Start listening more. I'm just saying my thoughts are going a mile a minute, and I started thinking of some things, and at the same time you were saying what you were saying, but in a different sense. A lot of people think about money all the time, but actuality, well, the people I've been working with lately, it's been more of relationships and the same thing going on, but they're using the same thing with energy, as in relationships,
uh-huh.
and saying, okay.
You got to remember, now see, there's a few things to remember in that whole thing. What you are
mm-hmm.
dealing with, I don't care if it's your client base, friends,
mm-hmm.
what your friends are going through, people that you see, people that you meet, things that happen around you, they are all mirroring the most intense thing in your life. The number one intense thing in your life is what you will see regularly. So if you have this intense thing regarding relationship around you, you know,
mm-hmm.
all these relationships and the client base are coming, their relationship base or all of this, you have something within you that you're struggling regarding relationship. Whether it's the one
mm-hmm.
that you're in, whether it's the desire for one, all of it doesn't matter. It is something relationship based. So you'll
mm-hmm.
find, and that's perfect example of law of attraction, you want to put it there, is that your concentration is relationship, so your client base is going to end up, because that's the group that comes and goes, is your client base.
Uh-huh.
Your client base is going
right.
to come in waves. They're going to come in waves because you need to learn something regarding that relationship thing you're dealing with, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to learn it through teaching others, because the most powerful place you can be is in the position of student and teacher in the same moment.
No, I was just starting to think about that too. I was like, okay, I'm sitting here focusing on just clients. I want clients. Never thought about the idea of asking why. That just made me think right there in that minute, because I'm going, okay, because I remember when I was in Colorado, I sat there and sitting in my shop one day, and I said, right now, I don't care if I make a dime. I said, I just want to do readings. I just want to sit down and work with people and help people, and that's what I want to do. And when the people, I want to be open and ready when these people come to the door, that I can actually have the right answer, but also be open to receive what they need to know. And all of a sudden, It was almost like someone opened the freaking doors, and I made so much freaking money that day. But all I focused on was focusing on people coming to the door, and then when the people came to the door, all I cared about was helping them. Never thought about anything else. And all of a sudden, it was just like almost like it was like taking the shackles off. And then I was just I started getting wrapped up in the whole thing and started having fun again, which I'm not saying I didn't in the first place, but I did kind of get sidetracked, and it was always at one particular time of the month, which sounded weird, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always noticed that. So I'm sitting there going, you're right. And the process of sitting here talking, which is kind of crazy, of sitting here trying to get the information out to people too to help them, I've just answered at least two of my situations that have been going on, and I actually think I have a solution to it now. So therefore, my manifestations and even my visualization skills, I've just added a couple more pictures just in the last 2 seconds. So I'm thinking, I hope everybody else got that, because I like doing this format, because I've noticed one thing that when we talk to people, if we just talk to one or just me and you talking, there's everybody out there who's listening for a reason, and they've been picking it up. I've had a lot of people call me and said, you know, I heard you on the air doing that reading for that person. Okay, but you sure you wasn't picking up on me? I said, no, I wasn't picking up on you per se. But I said, the reason I like doing radio is because it hits many people. So one reading can help out, you know, hundreds of people.
Right.
So that's...
The whole saying of birds of a feather flock together?
Yeah.
Okay, that is very... true in all kinds of forms, whether they're going through the same thing, whether they're going through something you're going through, they all come together because your world mirrors you and you mirror your world.
I know. And, you know, the thing that drives me the craziest is the idea I've been doing this for so long, I know that. So I'm sitting here thinking about the situation of certain things going on and knowing the answers all the time, where I just need to sit down and do a session with somebody or just talk about this kind of work. It's a reaffirmation sometimes. Pops back up and go, okay, you know this. I was like, yeah, I do. What happened? Well, you know, sometimes you need to be reminded. But also, at that, my angels kind of talk to me all the time, too, and they're sitting there going, and they bring things up. And, like, I was sitting there in front of me. I was like, yeah, I'm sitting there going down the street, and they're sitting there going, you're expecting a miracle to happen, but you're thinking too logically. And I go, what? They go, yeah, what are miracles? They're things that defy reality. I'm sort of going, yeah, I know that. They go, you sure? You know?
Well,
and
secondary to that, not only are miracles what they call something that defies reality, but what do you define a miracle as? How big does a miracle have to be before you can call it a miracle?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, I know that too. It drives me nuts because I'm sitting there going, because I've actually, I mean, in the past, I've seen so many things. But I do know one thing, that when I'm in a very, if I'm in a relationship where I don't have to worry about anything and I just do it and you know, just give and don't really care about the giving back in return because I feel pretty much secure and trusting in the relationship and the situations, I notice that one thing, what I unconditionally love, that I have no worries. I don't worry about things. When things do happen, I'm not saying things don't happen, but I've always, back in the past, I remember when things did happen, I would just sit there and go, well, you know, we don't have a spare tire, but we have a flat tire, but there's got to be an easier way. So if something's going to happen, and I would sit, and I would just go right to the point of actually expecting something to happen. And sure enough, I remember this one guy, he kind of freaked me out about it. Thought he was an angel, in some sense, because he just came out of nowhere. I'm sitting at this, we had a flat tire, we had no spare. And I said, well, heck, let's just walk back to this carryout. So we walked back to the carryout. I'm sitting there talking to the lady about what happened, and I still think to myself, there's I'm thinking rims and tires and some, no. This, I said, let's stop thinking that way. There has to be an easier way. So I just said, okay, what's the easiest way to take care of this situation? I'm open to whatever it is. And the universe, next thing I know, this old man came out of nowhere and said, what size tire is that? I said, well, it's a, you know, this size tire. He goes, I think I have that in my barn. Well, even when he said that, I was thinking tire. I wasn't thinking the whole thing. Well, he comes back 20 minutes later, and he says, you're ready to go. I said, I'm ready to go. Oh, you got the tire? We go down and put it on? He goes, no, you're ready to go. All you got to do is put some air in it, a little bit of air, and you're ready to go. I'm sitting there going, that was an easier way of doing it. Well, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was up there kind of chatting and talking to the, I was actually talking to people about what I did and what, you know, doing the process and just talking about spirituality, basically. And the next thing, this guy comes up there and just kind of goes, you're ready to go. And we were basically back on the road and going home. And he, and I was kind of funny too, because I only had $20 on me. And the guy, I looked at the guy and said, so much I owe you. He goes, oh, 20 bucks should do it. I'm sitting there going, I just started hearing that music in my head, you know, that Twilight Zone kind of thing.
Right.
And I was like, dee-dee-dee. I was like, it's freaky every time that happens. And people ask me, what do you mean every time that happens? I said, I don't understand why I do have a tendency to worry, because every time I get myself in a situation where I didn't listen, I've always noticed that when I open myself up to the flow, what can happen, and always expect the best, everything always falls in place. So I was just like, why do I do that? Well, like you said before, with patience, I'm getting better day after day, you know, and when I get these realizations, they're coming quicker and quicker. But it's kind of a crazy thing. All I was going to say was I do have a caller, and I was going to take some calls. So if you would like to put your input or anything that comes to it, we can actually have to help. Yeah, I can't say it. Can actually help this person or maybe help me talk better. let me know.
I think
I'm still a little bit frustrated because every time we've always had a show where it starts about, I don't know, 15 minutes late. because of technicalities, I'm trying to let that one go too as well. So, okay, every show is going to run like clockwork and be perfect. I don't know if clockwork could actually be a negative thing.
Well, that's why you got to go, oh, really? Well, let it roll.
Yeah, roll.
Yeah, you just got to let it roll. Because if you just let it roll and be what it is and work out the way it works out, you don't get frustrated. You don't get mad. You just go, okay. Okay, that didn't work so well.
That's why we're sitting there saying that that stress is self-inflicted.
Oh, absolutely, so, it's self-inflicted. It's all about what you choose. Yeah. It's all how you choose it.
Yeah. So I don't know who this is. I think it's a Skype call because it's 11111. Which actually, I've seen all those ones, man. I've always seen 11 as a strong, powerful number. So I mean, just me personally.
Well, yeah, okay. That's that over and over. That's that quite a bit.
Yeah. So 111, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. And how are you? And what's your name? Hello. Hello. I can hear the voices in the background. I want you to notice that she's actually on the air.
Hello.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yep, there she is.
Oh, that's me.
Hey, how are you? Yeah.
Hi. How are you?
How am I? Well, let me think about that for a minute. I'm actually doing great. And what's your name?
My name is Lynette.
Lynette?
Yes.
And how are you? Seriously.
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Westchester County in New York.
In New York?
Yes.
Okay. So
where
do you have
are
a
you
couple
from?
Questions? Where am I from? I'm on the dark side of the moon. No, I'm just kidding.
that's funny.
But
I'm in La La Land.
Yeah, he's actually in California.
Oh, wow.
And,
is it warm out there?
Oh, it's nice.
Oh.
By no means is it like you guys are dealing with.
Oh, my God. It beats
exactly. So if it was only 50 degrees where he was at, compared to where we're at, that's like a heat wave.
I know, right?
we're actually,
the reason why I was calling was to ask a couple of questions. You
Well, that's good because we actually answer a couple questions.
That's you guys are funny.
So we're going to the same plane here. Go
okay,
ahead.
My first question is, I recently lost my job. What do you see for me future wise working?
Well, the one thing I was such a focus on the most that came to me the quickest was, what is that? I mean, it's like you're sitting there kind of like winging it, and I keep getting this impression that you should be thinking about exactly what you want to do, and almost to the point of actually sitting down and asking yourself, what do I want to do, you know, focusing on a career. What were you doing before?
I worked 5 years for Coca-Cola. And I got hurt on the job in my back. And when I went to go back to work, I was fired for allegedly using my gas card while I was out on family medical leave.
What I would do right this second, I would forget that ever happened. Because actually, it's gone. It's done. It's over. It never existed in the first place because now we're here. I'm just saying that focusing on, because when you said that and you're focusing on the intensity of being as being what's the word? Shoot. The idea
fired?
Of you thinking, yes, being fired, and you're looking at that person and you're going, oh my gosh, they had no right to do that and blah, 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 blah. You're putting too much energy in that when you should look at it and go, well, thank you. I appreciate you directing me to where I need to go, which is not here, of course.
I mean, you know, I do in a sense look at it like that, but, you know, sometimes I do in another sense get caught up in the whole scenario because, you know, I gave 5 years and, you know, it was just senseless. But, yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
I have been trying
to see what I want to do. I'm actually going back to school, but I'm kind of like on the fence as to if I want to keep on with what I was doing or if I should go in a different direction.
Okay, well, slow down and say school. Let's focus on that. And what I'm saying to you is the ideal of letting go of this past scenario, because you're saying, you're still thinking, I gave 5 years to this place, when actually you just went there for 5 years. You went there for... You went there to make a check. You went there to make money. You went there to get a paycheck, and that's what you're thinking week to week, week to week. And now you have a chance to change all that and start thinking about a life, because you're making a living, but now it's time to make a life and start changing that whole thing and start wondering. And get past the wondering part, because I was going to sit here and say, you could sit here and think about it in a bad way, but you could also look at it in a good way of saying, I'm free to make a choice. And now I've got a direction, because it was like, even the situation of going back to where you were working at, you feel like there was still you were still thinking of what you should do, even in the process of going back there. And I guess you would say from that thinking that you did, the universe gave you a decision, even if it was the ideal thinking that you didn't want to be there one time. It's, for me, it feels like it did manifest the way it was supposed to happen. So we could sit here and say, okay, I'm mad at that whoever fired you. Or the idea of using a gas card, or if you did use a gas card, the idea of making the choice to use the gas card was still setting things up for you to go into a different direction. So sometimes I would say if you did things like that, because I've done the same thing too, where, for example, I went into a checking account that I had, and I knew for a fact when I made this transaction, I wasn't in a deficit then, but there was a gut feeling telling me not to do that, not to make that transaction, and I did it anyway. And all of a sudden, my freaking checking account was $200 in a deficit. And I'm sitting there going, I have nobody to blame but myself.
Yeah.
I can sit there and get mad at the bank and say, well, the bank charges too high fees, which they do. But still, the point is, I would never have been affected by those charges, or even the bank, if I would have sat there and listened to myself just that one time, which set up a chain reaction, which is kind of funny when you do a bad thing, it sets up a chain reaction. But the good thing is, when you do the right thing, it also sends up a chain reaction, too, of good things happening for you. So it's like just changing the direction and going forward and not thinking backwards. Because, I mean, I understand the same thing, too. I made a decision with this show where I decided to go back to premium. And as soon as I went back to premium, all of a sudden, everything stopped. And I was sitting there going, and I had a funny feeling, too, when I did it. I shouldn't do this. I should sit there and have faith that something keeps telling me to keep going forward and everything's going to be fine, and I still made a decision in the light of fear and went backwards, okay? And,
I talked to my... Thing, like, because you know, when one door I always say when one door closes, the next one is, you know, you allow the next one to open.
You're not allowing anything to open. I'm going to ask you a few questions. I play things in a very blunt way.
Yes.
All right. How many years did you work for a company before this one? Or let me rephrase that. What was the longest you ever worked for a company?
I think it was this. Actually, it was this one.
This one, 5 years, right?
Yes.
Because when you said you gave 5 years to the company, it was like, oh my God, I gave my entire life to this company. So there's no way in hell you.
No, it sounded like I get what you're saying.
But it sounded like, oh my God, I gave my life to this company.
Before that, I've worked in a couple of other jobs, but I've never really had to work. I mean, you know, fortunately for me, I had a great. Husband, a provider, my kid's father.
Right.
So I didn't have to work at that time. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's not more about the 5 years. It was just more about bitter.
Well, no, hold on. I'm going to point something out to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just relax.
What happened to him? Yeah, just relax and go with it. What happened to him?
He's passed away.
Okay. Now, how long ago was that?
He died in 2000.
Okay, so he's been about 11 years.
Yes.
Okay. So it took you a mourning period to get over his death. Through that mourning period,
you know. Say you get over those things, but.
You don't get over it, but I'm talking about that. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been there. I was with somebody for 4 years, and one night they go to the convenience store, get shot and killed. That's the end of it.
Wow. Okay.
So I understand. There is a mourning period before you get over the intense mourning. You don't ever get over them. You don't ever forget them. You don't ever walk away from them. They're always a part of you. They became a part of your life. They will always be a part of your life. Don't forget that. But you had a period of transition through the mourning, through the getting back into life of some sort. So then after that, you go to work. And you think, okay, I'm in this work. So what you've actually done within that period is went from being a kid, teenager, preteen, teenager, young 20s, being taken care of, don't have to worry about it, never really left mom and dad's house of sense, okay?
Uh-huh.
So then, that ends, and you have your transition. You have your transition, which in sense would be college, and then going to the work world.
Yeah.
All right? So first, you're still pissed off he's not around.
Yes.
Second, you're pissed off that you have to work.
Yes.
Third, you're trying to figure out how to make it work, so you use a gas card because you figure, what, $20 isn't going to hurt anything. Then you find out, okay, that's really, really against the rules, so you don't have a job anymore. So now you're pissed off at them for not understanding why you used it while you were out on an injury.
Actually, it wasn't against the rules because it was written in the handbook. What happened was is that a new mother company took over the old company when I was gone, and I guess maybe
and
their
according
new
to them and their rules. In their rules, it didn't work.
Yeah, their new rules didn't work. Exactly.
Right. So now you go against the rules, and you lose the job. So now you're pissed off because it was okay, but now it's not okay. I got to pay the price. Holy shit. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting to a resolution of, okay, I now see where I'm at. I can move forward and move into what I really want to do, but I don't know what I want to do, so I'm going to go to school and see if that can tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll move forward. You understand? If you go back to work right now, you're not going to go back to work doing anything worth a crap that's going to last very long until you decide what it is that you love to do and pursue that.
Yeah.
So the answer about you finding a job right now has everything to do with you and making up your mind and deciding what it is you love to do to pursue it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And until you do that, you're not going to get anything worth a darn anyway.
Got you. I felt that. I really didn't need you to tell me that because I felt that myself anyway.
You needed it because you got to get a slap in the intellect.
Yeah.
Is what it is because you got to slap your head around. From time to time, you got to do it. Believe me, I do it to myself almost every day.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of crap that's been put into me that I've had to deal with, and now deal with it. So that's it. Now you know that you got to get yourself together before you're going to get anything worth a damn.
Well, my first intent is to start, you know, go back to school so I can finish my degree. And then from there is, you know, my plan for 2011 was to finish school and then think about looking for another job or think about what job I'm going to get into.
Well, then that's what you need to do and stop asking questions about your job.
Okay.
The more you ask the questions about the job, the more uncomfortable you will feel.
Yeah.
Because you're getting into that mind-heart conflict. You want to step away from that so you can move forward with what you're doing.
Okay, do you see my finances getting any better this year?
Yeah.
You said yes?
No, I said do you see your finances getting better this year? Yeah.
Oh, do I see them getting better? Yeah.
Yes. I'm just saying, if you follow that thought and follow that vision you see, then the answer is going to be yes. I'm not trying to divert it. I'm just saying that the idea of what he was saying, that everything starts with you, that means everything, not just the job and making a decision what's going to happen there. But if you make a decision to do just that and follow your dreams really truthfully, then, and I actually feel like this year is a positive year for a lot of people, if not everybody, if they would just use it just that way and look at it that way. But there are some, I always tell people when it comes to energy, I live in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which is a vortex, okay? And a vortex to me is positive and negative energy coming together intensely. And what happens in those situations is when you focus and you have a plan on nothing but success, it happens very quickly. But also on the same note, if you focus on the opposite, you will get it very quickly. So the situation of a year like this, I feel like it's very powerful. I feel like the power way before it started even coming in, saw certain things going on with myself, which I'm not going to sit there and say I don't have the problem doing the same thing of kind of still having some residues of some things that are still following me too I'm working through. But I know from the idea of focusing and working and letting all that go that this year is going to be a great year for me. And I've already declared that. And I'm trying to get to the point right now of letting go of that last route on the bank to actually go down that river and just go with it.
Trying to chop down that last tree, huh?
Yeah, what I'm saying is when you let go and just let it go, and I just think that the idea of focusing on your dream of what you want to do with your life, then everything else is going to follow with it too. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Kevin.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, in the way you're thinking and what you're doing right now, are your finances going to get better this year? No.
Yeah.
They're not. You stay stuck. You stay in that whirlwind you got going on. They're not going to. Make a decision, move forward, they will.
I got you. Quick question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you another question. Does everybody have a spirit guide, or do just certain people have spirit guides?
No, the way I've been taught.
Why do you laugh?
Because you're still thinking. She's still thinking in lack because she doesn't think she has one.
Yes.
But.
See,
I'm just curious because I hear people talking about spirit guides, but I didn't know if everyone had one or is it
here's,
just
here's
people.
I can tell you. I can give you some information for your head, okay? I got 5, and sometimes I have 7, okay? But the point is, I know they're there, and I acknowledge them. But at the same token, everybody, from what I've understood and from what I've worked with, everybody has at least 5 guides, if not 3 guardian angels as well. You're very well protected, and I always tell people if you really knew what was actually working with you, you would have no fear, and you would go out and do what you want to do. And in the process of realizing that these risks you think you're taking, they're not risks, they're just the answers.
Here's the reason why I laugh.
Okay,
I'm sorry, go ahead, keep going. No, keep going.
No, just saying. With the situation, I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. the reason why I laugh on that question is because that question comes from a point of, am I good enough? Is somebody else better? Do I not deserve? Do they deserve? Who does? Who doesn't? Everybody is on the same plane of everything. Okay.
No, I just. thought that it was just psychics that had spirit guides, you know.
No.
I
no,
maybe
no.
Mis-
yeah, but if you sit and look at the situation, what I usually teach people is everybody has intuition and everybody has psychic abilities to some extent. And the more
I know that, definitely. I've had a lot of psychic things happen to me. That's why I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm a firm believer in God, but I believe that there is another side.
Let me ask you a question.
It's not even another side. And don't let me cut you off. Go ahead.
It's like walking on the same plane. It's just, I don't know what you call it. I've always felt like you're sitting there standing on the other side of the dimension, that kind of stuff, but I've always felt like angels around me. I've also felt like there was always Jesus behind me, always working with me, not as in somewhere else, totally, like all this distance between everybody. I feel like the distance is at what you put there because of your beliefs and what you've been taught and how you prepped.
I put the distance there because, you know, that's how people sort of say it. Not because I believe that there's a distance between there, because I don't, because I believe that there's spirits all around us all the time. But I say that because that's the way, you know, that's how
we so now. So now when somebody says the way to go over this bridge is to jump without a parachute, and you say the way to do it is with a parachute, you're not going to do it with a parachute because they say don't do it with a parachute.
No, I'm going to go with whatever I'm feeling is right.
Okay, so
intuition.
The point
okay.
I'm making is because they say it that way doesn't mean you should. Let
okay.
them live theirs.
Very
let them
nice.
Live theirs. Live yours.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you were also saying psychic things happen to you. I was kind of curious of what that meant. Did you get by a psychic truck or something? I'm just curious. I've never had psychic things happen to me. I've had psychic impressions.
That
and deja
is
vu.
So funny. Oh my God. No, what I mean by that is that
I've
certain things, or like when my children's father passed away, I felt like he's come to me in different ways, and so that's what I mean.
Okay, so did your father come to you very quickly after he passed?
Who?
Your father.
My dad?
Okay, your dad, your father. That I don't understand. No,
I didn't understand the question.
Well, I understand that, dear, but I called it father and you called it dad, or I called it dad and you called it father. I thought they were both in the same, but...
Yeah, but
somebody...
what are you saying? What I'm saying is, what are you saying about him? Because I didn't hear everything else before that.
I got an impression that somebody that you call father or dad passed away.
Yes, my father.
Right. So I was saying to you, how long has it been? I said, did he come to you very quickly after he passed?
My dad, he died in when I was 16. No, when I was 17. That was in 1991.
Okay.
And has he come to me? I've seen him in my dreams a couple of times, but every time I see him in my dreams, he talks to me and I can't hear what he's saying. So one of my aunts told me, who she reads cards, tarot cards, and she's into that stuff. So she told me that it's maybe because I don't want to hear what he has to say.
That's exactly what it is. You don't want to hear what has to be said. And in the situation of certain things, when people have the answers, you are a stubborn person who has a tendency to stick and stay inside the box. And your father is trying to get through to you on certain situations. And the reason I was asking you the question, because I felt like he came to you after he passed away, and he communicated with you then, so at the same time.
No, I can't say that it was then. I felt like I said, I had these dreams later on, but...
I understand that. What I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
Tell me again.
When you were 17 years old and he passed away, he came to you about a month later, and you were not listening to him because you were too busy focusing on... I keep getting a boyfriend, but
my God, my hair is just stood up.
Okay, I'm just saying, what the situation was, he wasn't listening there that time either, and what I got really, really clearly was, if you would have, you could have saved yourself a whole lot of time and pain and anguish. So I'm just saying, with the situation, we have a party over there, huh?
Those are my kids. They're joking around. Yeah, my two younger boys, they're in the background.
Okay.
You know, laughing and stuff like that.
Right, I'm just saying.
But yeah, so you said that you felt like he came to me a month after and I didn't listen.
Exactly.
I mean, it could be a possibility.
I mean,
you say it's for sure, so I believe you. But I mean, I wouldn't. I guess because I was young at the time, so I wouldn't. I don't remember much, like in that time area. So I can't say I was even, like I said, you know, like you just said, I was all over the place. And I was focused on the boyfriend. Yeah, that was totally true.
And so what happened to that boyfriend?
He's the father of my three children.
Okay.
And he's the one that passed away.
Okay.
My mom is deceased. My dad is deceased. I'm an only child. And my kid's father, he's deceased. My dad died when I was 17. My kid's father died in 2000. And then my mom died in 2003. So they're all deceased.
Okay, I'm just saying with the situation, you're not alone. You never have been.
Can I ask you one thing? Why is it that if I saw or I felt like my kid's father has come to me in dreams or in other ways, and I felt that connection, or like when my grandfather passed away and I was a little girl, I remember that because I dreamt it before it actually happened. And you know, just certain things like that. But then when my mom, whom I'm the closest to, I'm her only child, she passes away, I've never felt any kind of connection. Like, you know, I've never dreamt with her. Just, like, I never felt that connection like I have with, like, let's say my kid's father who passed away or my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you tell me why that is?
Sure. But you gotta take a deep breath and slow down. And let me jump in there. But, because the thing is, a friend of mine and me, we went to this place down in Florida called Casadega, and a very positive place. And she was like, I can't feel the positive energy. And I said, so do you feel positive right now? And she goes, I feel very positive. I said, the reason you can't feel the positive energy because you're a part of it, okay? And with the situation with you and your mother, you seem like you're very close, but also your mother seemed to have more faith in you than anybody else.
Yes.
So therefore, she doesn't need it. She doesn't feel like you need her assistance. Everybody else, in certain some ways, feel like they have to be there for you. But it's also like almost feeling like they've missed something, too, as well. So they're kind of still pulled to you, and you're still pulled to each other. But you and your mother had this relationship where you just didn't feel that. So therefore, she has confidence that you'll be fine, and you can take care of yourself, and you can make those decisions. So therefore, she has the confidence. Do you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for that confidence. You got really convinced on that one. So try again. I'm just saying, if your mother has that much confidence in you, how come you don't have that much confidence in yourself? Because I feel like you do.
And you know what? I've always had that confidence. I've always been driven and stuff like that. But I guess it's just as of lately that I've been feeling kind of,
Well, stop doing that.
take that
and go forward and do something.
You have that whole thing going on because you just won't give up with what happened. You can't let go of it. You got to let go of it.
Yeah,
because you can't let go of it.
You got to let go of that whole, you got to let go of that whole, this has happened to me, that has happened to me, how miserable, is it really supposed to be like this? Is it, you know, am I worth it? I mean, what, did I suck that bad? I got to be around all these people that died. Did I suck that bad? I got to get fired. Did I suck that bad? I can't even figure out what I want to do, to go to school or not or what. And for that matter, I don't even want to crap or get off the pot. I don't even know what I want to do.
And I sit there and said, get up and go to, and I would go to school, but I would make sure I knew exactly why I was going to school and not just, like he said before, of letting school make the decision for me, because I feel like there's something you really want to do. And you really should put a lot of effort and energy into it. You're not too old. You're still breathing, so you got plenty of time. And what you should do is to think about it. And for some reason, I got a headache. And I keep getting law enforcement with you.
Wow, that's funny.
And why is that funny?
Because when I first originally went for my associate's degree, I was going to go for forensic science.
Mm-hmm.
But my kid's father, their family owns a lot of car dealerships, and I was always doing business and learned how to do a lot of business in the street and in their family business. So I've always liked that, too. So I got into business management. And, you know, even though I like doing that as well, but, you know, I always had two or three other little things that I like, really, really like to do. That I just never pursued. Mm-hmm. I just figured it would take me too long, or it would be too much because I had the kids, you know.
Yeah, you know, one thing you should listen to Dr. Wayne Dreyer's book called "Excuses Be Gone" to realize that every time you come up with an excuse, it's just basically rooted with fear of talking yourself out of what you really want to do.
Every excuse is nothing but an enforcement of doubt.
Yeah, so we sit and look at the situation, going, "Go and do what you love to do." And I've seen a lot of people. You should also do some research on some things. It's showing people success that happened in a later life, but they still went for it and still did it. And when they left this world, they were very successful and happy and content with their lives. And the idea of retiring never crossed their mind because they were enjoying what they loved to do.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. I always told people retirement was something that a corporation came up with to get rid of people. Okay? So if you
that's
want to sit your feet into the corporate world and let the world dictate your success, then I guess you have that choice to do that. But I've said this many times, stop letting the world dictate your success and you start dictating your success. And what I mean by that is, it's like me personally, of things that I've experienced would defy what society tells you and how you do it, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, I've actually gotten houses and apartments and things like that when they tell you you have to have money to do those, you have to have insurance and blah, blah, blah. And I've actually gotten those things first, and then the money came later. So, see, that was like in reverse.
Wow, yeah.
Or Doreen Virtue was a person I read a book about where she's talking about where when she was going to school to be a psychotherapist,
mm-hmm.
instead of letting them dictate how she was going to do it and how fast she was going to do it, she said, I'm going to do it this way. And she talked to her teacher about becoming a psychotherapist before she graduated, and he said, you will never get a job as a psychotherapist until you graduated. Until you graduate, I guarantee it. And she actually went out and proved him wrong and had a job as a psychotherapist 4 months before she graduated. So the point is, these people did these things because they decided that's exactly what they were going to do, that's what they wanted to do. They put their energy, their feelings, their love into this whole thing. This is what I love to do. They meant it, and these things manifested almost at will, and they were constantly going and constantly happening all the time. So
yeah, and I believe that because before I got that job, my last job, I feel like I manifested it because I was saying it and talking it to the world, and I was positive, and I just knew I was going to get it, and I knew I was going to do it, and it just happened.
Okay, then
we'll
reproduce that.
Huh?
We'll reproduce that. Okay, go past the part of believing and start knowing it. Okay, so therefore,
add something to it. I'm gonna throw this in here a little bit, and then I gotta split. But
no problem.
Add something to that whole series that you just said. Add to it and do what it takes to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because people do a lot of things. Dr. Wayne Dreyer said this. He said there was one guy who declared that he wanted a happy, content, and he wanted this and this and this and this. But he had a scenario. One scenario came to him that he could get all those things. But what happened was he had to take his family and move across country. And he said, I'm not going to do that. But he wanted to, but then he turned around and blamed the world because the world wouldn't do what he wanted to do when it could have done that. But he made one decision that he couldn't have exactly what he wanted. And the realization of doing those things, I'm just telling everybody, why would you want to do that? One excuse kept him from doing what he really wanted to do and living
and
the way he wanted
right
to do.
There,
and that right
there was his are you sure moment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually what it was. All right, guys, take care of yourself. I will speak to you again on Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
thank you, Caitlin.
Care.
I appreciate you being here. So you have a good night, and thanks for being here. It was great.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Take care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
No, the caller. What's your name? What's your name?
What's your name?
Hello?
Lynette.
Yeah. Lynette. Kevin had to leave. No, Kevin had to leave, but we're still here.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the idea
I wasn't sure. Well, I was like, hello? Quick, let me ask you a question.
I'm sorry, I got to go.
This year, I went through a bout of IVF, right?
A what?
IVF, in vitro.
Uh-huh.
You know what that is?
Not really. I think so, but like I said before, I'm not a person who deals with, as I call it, artificial heat, so I have a tendency to really mess with my mind, not my mind, but my sinuses. So, yeah, I'm thinking, I'm listening, but, you know, it's like I'm sitting going, okay, I think I know what that means, but for some reason it's just not coming to me.
In vitro is when you're trying to have a child and they take the egg and the sperm and they put it inside you.
Okay, well, you could have done without that whole part and just give me a little bit down, but that's okay. It's too late now.
Yeah. Okay. So I have three boys from my first, like I told you, my first kid's father, and I have been trying to have another child for a while now. What do you see as far as that for me?
Well, with the situation, when you say you're trying to have a child, are you married again or?
I am on my way to get married again.
Well, my impression with the situation is as soon as you get married, then it'll be a whole lot easier because there's something about that. When we talk about your subconscious mind, it's the idea of things that are there have a tendency to really work against you on a lot of things, not just the idea of a job and career,
mm-hmm.
but the idea of also being worthy and being feeling like I deserve it. And that's what I was saying before about the idea of, do I deserve to have the best job in the world? And then sticking with that, like my favorite thing is to sit here and go, financial blessing will happen before the end of the week. Just something simple as that. And I think in your situation, I would do the same thing. Thank you, God, for my $2,400 income, my weekly income.
Yeah, I thank God every morning.
What I'm saying is, it's not the ideal.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, everybody has a tendency to thank God in the morning,
because
but how about
you may say thank God this and that, but if in your mind you don't see yourself having that child without having everything else right, then sometimes it doesn't happen until...
That's true too, sweetie, but see, this is different.
Okay.
This is a situation where both people have to be on the same page.
Okay.
I mean, him and you. So therefore, it's the ideal. It's sitting down, communicating with each other and saying, okay, do you really want this?
Mm-hmm.
Because if he's not really sure that he wants this and you are, that's a contradiction mm-hmm. on both parts. I'm trying to bring a child, which is a combination of both. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when I sit here and say, it's okay to thank God in the morning, but you should be thanking God all day long, even for the hair on your toes. That's being brave. But see, what I'm saying is, when you focus too much on it, if you focus too much on, I want $500, and all you think about is $500 all day, but you're thinking about having it. You're not thinking about already having it, you know, as it already happened. You're still thinking in a situation where you don't have it yet. So you're still
mm-hmm.
thinking of the lack of, okay? It's the same thing with a child. If you focus too much on the situation, it has an
mm-hmm.
adverse action with your body because of the stress you're inflicting upon yourself. So therefore, certain things have a tendency to shut down. So it's not going to happen. But I also feel like if you sit there and go into a state of gratitude constantly, you're taking your mind off the idea of having a child, and then you start thinking to yourself, thank you, God, for giving me a child. Just simply, I had a lady did that. There was a lady, in the secret. So all she did was, thank you, God, for my healing. Thank you, God, for my healing. Every day, thank you, God, for my healing. But what else she did? She made her day where she would go and they would go get comedies, they would get DVDs. They would get comedies. And what her thing was a constant being in a state of happiness, laughing and joy and the whole thing. And then 3 months later, she didn't have cancer anymore. But the same situation with yours is the idea of doing the same thing, but it's more of putting yourself in a situation of relaxing, okay?
Yeah, that's kind of hard
happen.
For me to do.
But you see, you can't say things like that. It's not hard for you to do. It's the ideal of saying, okay.
No, it's not.
Right.
I said it wrong. It's not hard for me to do. I don't allow myself to get to that point. I'm always uptight. I'm always, yeah.
Yeah, but see, the point is, you know those things. So therefore, what do? You find a solution so those things are not a problem no more. It's like I was sitting in the gym the other day trying to work out, and my shoulders and chest hurt so much I couldn't do those things. Did I sit there and say, okay, I'm going to walk out of the gym? No, I found a solution. I found an exercise I could actually warm up and get past that point, and then I could actually do the exercise I still wanted to do. So, see, I found a solution. I didn't sit there and say, okay, I can't do it. I found a solution for what it was. I mean, I was sitting there looking at myself, okay, I'm this kind of person. I do this, this, and this. Okay, what's the opposite of that? Then try to strive to get to that point and say, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, live the spiritual lifestyle. One thing you're going to find out when you really start focusing on yourself and start focusing on spirituality, you automatically go to looking for the solution instead of focusing on the problem. Because we already know what the problem is, and whatever you choose to put the energy into is what you're going to get.
Yeah. And it's so weird hearing you saying that to me when I'm one of the people that are always telling other people those things.
Yeah, isn't it crazy? I do the same thing.
You got to practice some time what you preach because, you know, I have girlfriends of mine that whatever their situations are, and I'm always giving them the uplifting and the positive and don't look at the problem. If you can't solve it, don't stress over it. Only stress over what you can solve today, you know, that type of speech. And here you are. I'm sitting here feeling like wow, that's you're me. And you're actually giving me that advice.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you need that little light bulb moment.
Yeah,
you know, to kind of, you know, just put that little sense into you, like, hey. But yeah, you know, everything you're saying is right on the money. It's definitely right on the money. And I have a child. I have a middle child that's 15. He's going to be 16. His name is River.
His name is River.
Yeah, River.
You want your life to flow, don't you?
Huh?
Excuse me. What I would do in the situation with him, what's wrong with him?
Nothing wrong with him. He's just giving me, he's a good kid. He just gives me a lot of problems in school and everything. Very hard-headed.
What's his name?
River Alden Alvernia.
Okay, focus on the river part. I think the idea of working with your child and focusing just on that name that he has would help both you guys understand how life works.
Okay.
It's a river.
Uh-huh.
And what you throw into it. Think about this. If you're traveling down the river and you throw something out in front of you, what's going to happen? It's going to hit you.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, everything you put into your life affects you, nobody else. So when you sit there and look at the situation of the turn river, I just think that's the most incredible thing that you. It's almost like you knew something was going to happen in the future, so you named your child River, so it reminds you how to learn how to flow with it, go with the flow.
That's funny. So what would you say if I say my 12-year-old's name is Dakota?
Then I would sit there and go to Dakota and have a good time. But
right. I got his name off of the map. But yeah, back to River at hand. What do you see for River?
Well, River's gonna be great, man. It's just one of those things that you say he's 12 years old.
He's 15, going to be 16 next month. Well, this month, February 17th.
Okay, sweetie. What I want you to do is I want you to forget about the physical age. I want you to sit there and look at that guy and tell me how old he really is and how he deals with you.
How he deals with me?
Mm-hmm.
He's a mama's boy. He's always up underneath my skirt.
So what's that mean? To me, that would just like my daughter. I would see her as 12 years old when she does those things. And it was the idea of helping her to do like you need to do. Think about this. You guys really reflect each other quite a bit, don't you? You were taken care of for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been taking care of him for a very long time, and now you both need to stay on your own 2 feet.
Wow. Yeah, I have a 19-year-old, and I have another 12-year-old. And my fiancé now tells me that all the time. You've been taking them for so long that they don't want to do nothing on their own now.
The one thing you got to understand is the idea of sitting down there and helping that child and getting that person, that little child to stand on his own 2 legs,
mm-hmm. is going to help him out so much in life of listening to his own intuition, mm-hmm. which you're getting back to doing too as well. But it's the idea of letting things go.
Yeah. I have my 19-year-old is really like into music and stuff like that. Do you think that he'll ever take that anywhere?
Say it one more time.
Do you see it going anywhere?
Okay, I heard that part. I didn't hear the first part.
Oh,
it doesn't
I
make
said
any
my
sense.
19-year-old is really heavy into music. He's taking up communication and arts. His name is George.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as far as that for him?
So, okay, he's really heavy in the music, which means he is...
Well, writing. He writes a lot. Music.
What he should do is he should start... Has he already started submitting things to people?
No. Right now he just started college. He's taking up communication and arts.
I understand that, sweetie, but the guy's got talent.
Yeah.
The guy has talent, okay? A lot of times situations, everybody likes to go to school and do all kind of things. But you know right now, school is one of those situations I have a hard time with because they've become a corporation. So sometimes I wonder if they actually want you to go to school because you need to go to school or it's because they want to make money.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what I'm saying with you and the situation I keep picking up, okay? So
mm-hmm.
just listen to what I'm saying.
Yes.
Is he should start submitting, okay? He should start submitting things to, just start taking the songs, writing them, finishing them up, get somebody that can really work with him to edit those songs to bring the best out of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times you need someone else to do that because we're so close to our work. I'm a songwriter, too. So the idea,
okay.
when you sit and look at situations, you just start submitting those things,
mm-hmm.
okay? Copy everything, and then take those copies and submit them,
okay?
I'm telling you the truth. A lot of artists out there that are so successful, it's because they have other people's stuff. But you also get reimbursed for that whole thing as well. So I'm just
yeah.
saying, I'm serious. You should put all this money into a career in music as a songwriter,
mm-hmm.
okay? I don't think he can really sing. But
no, he can't sing, but I can.
But he's very talented. That's what the thing is. He's very, I mean, my thing to work. He's very talented, and he needs to do something with that. Because if he doesn't, this could also deter him from anything he really wants to do. Because he's going to feel like he missed an opportunity, and he needs to take advantage of the opportunity. Because actually, it's an opportunity, and any kind of thing that's an opportunity doesn't fall in your lap for no reason at all. So
mm-hmm.
therefore, the talent's there. People don't have talents because they're not going to be good about it. It's the idea of some talents go to waste because they don't have confidence in themselves and that talent as well. And I feel like...
Yeah, because that's what happened to me at a young age. I used to model when I was young, and
uh-huh.
And my thing was singing. My mom had a beautiful voice, and I had somewhat of a nice little voice there that, you know, at a young age, but, you know, I could have gotten it to where I have it now, but I was always so scared... You know, and I've had opportunities myself in that field, and I just never ran with it out of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying, with the situation of fear keeping you from what you did then, you gonna let it happen this time?
No, I don't. That's I don't. You know, I don't want my. It's just hard because I don't know the avenues on how to help him. You know.
Let me ask you a question. I'm not saying you didn't love your husband and didn't care about him when you were married, but do you think in some ways that you were, with your fears, I've seen this happen before, so I'm asking the question, because I feel like in some ways it could be the truth, too, of actually getting married to hide from what you really wanted to do with your life?
Wait a minute. Say that again?
Okay. Do you think, because of the fears that were instilled in you then, do you think you got married to avoid your destiny and what you really wanted to do with your life?
Now at my age, 37, could be very
mm-hmm.
possible.
Because I'm saying, it doesn't mean you loved your husband any less. But I did feel like you guys went through a lot of stuff.
Oh, my God, yes. A lot.
So, you know, the situation, when I sit here and said your father came to you when you were very young and told you, to avoid this route because it was a whole lot easier way to go, doesn't mean, you know, there's many paths to go, but he was helping you to find the path that could have been the less painful and the most happiest at the same time, which was
yeah.
the idea of a career a career at something you really love to do in the first place. And that's what the whole thing is. So it's like getting to the point now, don't be surprised if you don't have a couple of dreams here about your father coming to you and say, okay, now you have a second chance to go after what you really want to do with your life. Because you're 37, but shoot, if you look at that in single digits, you're only 10 years old.
I just turned 37 in January. I'm like, oh, my God, my time clock is ticking.
Yeah, but sweetie, look at this. In the Bible, it says you should live to expectancy of 120 years old. So midlife is not until 60. You got plenty of time.
Yeah.
Or you can do like I do and say, I'm going to live forever, so therefore I definitely got plenty of time.
You know? Hello.
Yeah.
Okay.
Physical age is too much, okay?
I know. Sometimes it is. But I just say, that's just experience. That's just
right.
A little more experience behind you, underneath your belt. Now, one more question before I don't drive you crazy tonight. My little 12-year-old, his name is Dakota.
You should call me. Yeah, I said, you should send me a donation just for keeping on the...
Yeah? Where do you do that at?
What you do is you go to my go to the page where it says...
Hold on, let me get your website and everything. Because honestly, this is only my first time calling this radio show.
Okay,
I just found out about it.
All right.
Hold on, let me write it down. Hold on.
Okay, headache and a half, man.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, what you do is you go on Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll put... And then you where it says you're up at the top where you're, it says search... You put Psychic X Journeyman. Okay?
Journeyman?
Yeah, Journeyman.
Okay.
Okay, when you get to my show page, you'll see on the right it says profile. You go down and you'll
profile.
See it'll say www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. You just click on that. It'll take you to my webpage. And I think it's a couple more clicks. It takes you into, you go to the service page. And down at the bottom of the service page, it says donation.
Donation. That's for the radio show?
Donation. Yes.
Cool.
What you do is you take and you put $100 in there. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Put what you want, but I'm just.
Okay. Donation site.
So you put donation, you click, and you put what you want to put in there, you click in there, and it's done, it's over with. And then
okay,
tell
how
people,
many times a week are you on? Because I can let a couple of my other friends know.
I'm on 6 days a week at 6 p.m. Eastern. I also have another show with my friend Courtney on mornings, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 11
okay.
a.m. called the Missing Spiritual Link with Donnie and Courtney.
Missing.
And we do past life stuff on there. Past life reading?
Yeah. Oh, I would love one of those. I'm definitely going to call. You said 11 a.m.?
Yeah. You can also call me. You can also call me. What do you call that? Oh, you can call me and get a private reading right now, too.
Oh, okay. You guys do private readings as well?
Yeah, I do private readings. Right now, I lost my train of thought. Yeah, call me. You do the same thing. When you pay for a reading, if you go in there, you'll see at the top it says, I don't know what it says now, but on the service page, it tells you how much
I'm when I get
so far,
the whole site, I'm going to give it a look.
Okay.
I'm going to check it out. But, yeah, so 11 o'clock, that's nice. Hold on one second.
I'm just saying, we've been on the air with you for almost an hour and a half.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
Oh my God!
I have a 3-hour show, and now I knew it was like an hour and something when you came on, and now I got 45 minutes left.
Oh, okay. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hold you up like
time,
that.
Oh, you know something? Time flies when you're having fun. So don't worry about it.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Just donate some money to the show, and then call me later on. I always tell people to give me a call, which is what is my number? 937-838-6337.
Hold on. Let me get that. I don't have that number. Hold on, wait, where's my pen? Hold on 1 second.
And everybody else who wants to call and get a reading today.
You know, because I wanted to get a reading because I've always wanted to find out, like when my kid's father passed away, uh-huh. you know, happened so abruptly and everything, and he was in the house that he was found in, and just everything mm-hmm. was kind of weird, and I never knew exactly what happened. So that was
right.
something that has always been, like, in the forefront of my mind.
Right.
So
I'm just saying, so I tell people, go ahead and donate some money to the show, but I'm saying when you mm-hmm. want to do a reading, the number is 937.
937.
838-6337. And I always tell people, give me a call, and I have prices, but I'm also very flexible, so,
okay.
you know, call. Make a deal.
Okay, cool. What's your first name again?
My friends call me Donnie.
Donnie.
Uh-huh.
This has been a pleasure to speak to you, Donnie.
No, same here. And with the situation going on, that kind of thing? Yeah, I'd love to work with you, too. I've actually worked with a lot of people. I was down in Daytona. I had a girl down there. Her father had actually, they thought he committed suicide. And I'm like, oh, we need to work together on that because that's not true. And so I told her about everything about it. And she was like, that was exactly the way everything played out. And I told her exactly from what she saw and what she thought was happening. Pretty much.
Yeah.
I testified that that's exactly what happened. So,
Wow.
But with this situation, you're going to be fine. You just take, I want you to make a decision that you're going to do what you're going to do and then follow through with it, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. All right, Donnie. Well, I'll let you get... oh, yeah, you're serious? Yeah, I'm serious, too. I need something to happen, and I know I haven't been this, you know, the positive go-getter person that I normally...
See, with the situation in hand, it's like looking at things and going, okay, what's the answer to my financial situation? You.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, if anybody in the chat room can hear me and you want to ask a question, type it out for me and I'll answer it for you.
Thank you, Donnie.
Oh, no problem, and I look
You've
forward
been
to
a
hearing
doll,
from you.
And I'll be back.
Okay. Yeah, check us. Get an example, because I do past life readings as well. They're usually about 2 hours. But if you call in tomorrow at 11 on the Missing Spiritual Link, we're actually talking about Atlantis, and we're also telling people if they were actually in Atlantis, and also giving you some information about past lives as well. So.
What do you mean
get
Atlantis?
Atlantis, the continents. Atlantis.
Oh, okay. I'm like Atlantis. I'm like, you're talking about Atlantis in the Bahamas?
Yeah, there's actually places called Atlantis now. I know there's like little holiday spots and things like that. No, we're actually talking about the lost continent. So.
Oh, all right.
We actually talked about it Monday, and then we're going to talk about it tomorrow because we're continuing the show we had there. But basically what the show is about is the truth about Atlantis and the idea of Atlantis.
Uh-huh.
The theory is there's a possibility that Atlantis, the part we're talking about, something happened with the continent. I guess you'd call it a base of operation.
Okay.
There's something happened to that. But they also were able to correct it, and there's actually points across the Earth that Atlantis is still thriving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like we look at the idea of government cover-up. You don't know how deep it goes.
No, I don't know how deep it goes, but you know what? I wholeheartedly believe in it. Me and
there
my
you
kids
go.
Are always having discussions about the government and what we think goes on and not goes on.
If the government didn't think psychic ability was real, then why did they spend about $14 million to study it?
You know? Why are they always studying it if they feel
they
that it doesn't exist?
Right, they want to spend money, but I think they study it, so therefore they can find out different ways to cover it up.
Mm.
They were actually using psychics as spies to spy on other countries, but telepathically.
Wow.
So what you sit here and think about those things, I was sitting telling somebody, I said, where do you think that telepathic came from? It's like, look at Atlantis. If you can I was actually on Atlantean, and I can see big bits and pieces while I was there of having these masts meditation times where you have masses of people meditating at the same time, but they were also people that communicated telepathically all the time. But they did use their vocal cords, and they did do things verbally. What they would do is, like, when you meet somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when you're in a relationship, when you meet that person for the first time, you do a lot of talking, right? But after you're with that person for a period of time, you start thinking and you start knowing each other's thoughts.
Yes.
And then after you're comfortable with them, then you don't say much. But you mm-hmm. still know a lot about each other. That's a telepathic
yes.
thing. I think a lot of
yes.
us should also understand that. Oh, he's not talking to me. Yeah, he is, but you're not listening because you're thinking, you're waiting for his mouth to move. You're not opening your mind up to hear what he's really saying and what he really feels. Once you do, it reestablishes the connection between the two of you, and therefore you can understand that he wasn't being distant. It was you trying to be logical about how to have that conversation.
Mm, yep.
Yeah, so therefore
I get
it opens
that.
Up things. Yeah, so when you look at the situation.
Because you know what, go ahead, no.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Now, I'm just saying, when we were in Atlantis, we all did it. But I was telling a friend of mine, I was watching Alien Astronauts on the History Channel, and they were talking
mm-hmm.
about these runways. You think
mm-hmm.
these little spots in Peru are runways? I'm sitting there going, think about this for a minute. Why would alien astronauts or ancient alien astronauts need runways to land their craft, their spacecrafts in the first place? So let's step back, and let's think about the Atlanteans, okay? Let's say that the Atlanteans were experimenting with space travel, what they did have. But everything comes to a progression where you start with something to get where you want to be at, okay? So I'm thinking
mm-hmm.
of myself, this is the ideal, how much of influence Atlantis had on everybody, on this world, because if you could fly and you have these major spacecraft or even the ship and they had all this technology, would you just stay on one little island or would you go out and venture out?
I would explore, definitely.
Right, so I told somebody, I said, what actually is going on is those runways you're talking about, those were actually for early Atlanteans when they started experimenting with flight. Those were their runways.
Mm.
And I said, if you think about it, we have runways now that we don't use anymore because we progressed past them, but they still exist.
Yeah.
So
that's
therefore,
true.
You look at the situation, and then you can look at how much influence the Atlanteans actually had over this world. But, and then outposts. We had outposts, Atlanteans underneath the water. One's in the Atlantic Ocean in the Bermuda Triangle. There's one down at the bottom of China. And there's another one, I think, around Japan.
For real?
But, yeah, because people were talking about UFOs hitting,
mm-hmm.
going into the water. And they thought
mm-hmm.
they were just traveling water so they wouldn't be detected. When actually
mm-hmm.
they were going. Now, pick this. Imagine this real quickly. You have
mm-hmm.
you have Atlantis, okay? The main operation, the main palace is in the middle. It's surrounded by a wall, within a wall, within a wall. And these are all chains. These are all locks. So the ships,
mm-hmm.
well, these advanced ships come in, okay? So you have this harbor, like New York Harbor, but it's like picture New York Harbor, but then picture something really advanced, but almost 10 times bigger than that. Then you have something about the Atlanteans. But see, the Atlanteans had more than just a port for ships. They also had a port for spacecraft to come from the world. So they didn't have
mm-hmm.
just influence over the world, they had influence on the universe, and many universes. So there was a lot of planets coming in.
Okay.
And I guarantee if you tune in tomorrow, Courtney, my co-host that I work with,
mm-hmm.
she has so much information about I almost want to call them starseed children, but it was like
mm-hmm.
an understanding where you're from. Not just the idea of what country, but almost like what planet you're from.
Mm.
Of the influences and that kind of stuff. Because the Atlanteans had many cultures coming in and then kind of spreading around the world itself. I mean, it gives you an idea about a lot of things that actually happened with this world, how things were actually built and put together. How
yeah,
we were told
I
know. One way. You know. So tune in for that, man. I guarantee you're going to be interesting because she has...
Yeah, I know. I'm listening to you now like, wow, I can't wait till tomorrow's show. See, because, like, you know, again, I'm a firm believer of God and all of that, but I believe in all of that as well. I believe that, you know, that they, you know, there were other life forms or
we
other
think people
things
came
here
with the idea of Star Trek.
Us.
You know, Star Trek and Star Wars and all this kind of thing. I mean, is it suppressed memories? There's
mm-hmm.
actually a part of what we were talking about yesterday about how certain cultures have suppressed your memories of
mm-hmm.
DNA. in connection to Atlantis, and now as things progressed, like in the 60s, people were experimenting with drugs. Well, what happened was, in the process of experimenting with drugs, it also awakened a dormant memory within you.
Mm-hmm.
About helping you understand your origin and where you came from, to understand what past lives are all about.
Yeah. Donnie, if you don't mind,
yes.
Hold on. I have somebody that wants to say hi to you. Hold on.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing good.
I was just sitting here contemplating on my career for the future, because I'm like, in my eyes, I believe I'm a very bright person. I'm an artist, and
mm-hmm.
I know how to play basketball and stuff like that. I got a lot of talents, and I've been trying to put them to use. I've already had businesses, if you can believe that, and I'm only 12. And
right.
I'm wondering where I see myself in the future, because all my mind has been on is basketball, drawing.
Right.
And just school and just hanging out, and that's really what my mind's about. And I was trying to figure out, what should I do later on? Is there any tips, or do you know anything that, like, you got a feeling that I might get somewhere in life, or might get big? Anything?
Sure. When I sit there and focus on the thing, the way it came to me very quickly is the idea of focusing on basketball. Okay?
Yeah.
But at the same time, see, basketball and becoming an artist, I would definitely go and take some art, go to art school or something like that on the line, somewhere along the line too, but it also focused on basketball. Because the way it came to me was, you could have a really good career in basketball, but also the art talent and the gift that you have will be something you would do afterwards, if not during. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
So you can, you know that for a fact, you can actually explore many things at the same time. And that's exactly what you should do, because you already are. But have faith in that the reason you can play basketball so well, and the reason you are such a good artist and those kind of things, because that's what you're destined to do, so they all work together. One
See,
for a while, and then the other one comes in. Go ahead.
This is hard to, I don't know how to explain it, because, I'm a type of person that I would go home, I would play games all day, do my work, go to school, hang out with mad people, do my work, be all good, but at the same time have my little edge to me. But when I'm in my games, that's like my way of steaming off, because
mm-hmm.
I'm into like games that have to do with shooting and stuff like that. It's weird, but I'm already, 200 in the world out of, 400 billion people, and I don't, that's somewhere that I could do, because there's a thing called MLG, which is, Major League Gaming, and I've been trying to get in that. It's for pro people that already mastered the game, and they get money for winning games, hundreds of thousands of dollars for just winning a tournament,
mm-hmm.
where I've already experienced doing tournaments by myself. And
mm-hmm.
it's, I've got so many talents in so many different areas. I don't know which way to pick, which way to go, how to focus
mm-hmm.
on. But all I know is my mentality is school, basketball, my games, and my artistic, and my drawing ways.
Yeah. I'm just saying, work on it. You know, it's one thing you got to focus on when you do this kind of stuff is the one thing I learned a long time ago, too, is you don't focus on money. See, money's the outcome. So you don't focus on the money part. You focus on what's going to get you there, which is your talent and your skills, and also having fun at what you're doing. Because I have a lot of people who are very gifted at being nurses, but all they think about is making $75,000 a year, and they're miserable. They don't like what they're doing because they were thinking about the money first, which put them in a situation where now they don't like what they do, because all they're focusing
yeah.
on is money, and then they
Well, I'm just saying the focus of the money, they realized that nursing was a way to make that money, and then they kind of justified it by saying, well, I really do care about people, which doesn't say they didn't. It's just that they didn't want to do it for a living, as in that kind of atmosphere.
I get what you're saying, like you focus on the money, and that's all you really think about, but now you're in the predicament of, like, okay, I got the money, but I'm not in the situation where I want to keep doing this for a while getting the money. I'd rather go to something where I actually truly appreciate doing in my standard and just doing what I love for whatever I accept.
Yeah, but I'm just, and also the situation when you put yourself in the idea of making money, you have a tendency to justify by staying there longer because of the money instead of saying, okay, I hate this. When actually focusing on what you love to do will always give you the money you need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Some definitely focus on, I see, because it's like this, you can focus on your basketball career, do exactly what you got to do with it. It's just the idea of developing art, this art talent of yours too as well, because we know for a fact that basketball and that kind of stuff, that's not one thing that's going to carry you. I mean, some people have been playing basketball for a very, very long time, but they're still working on the skills because they know one day they're going to have to go do something else. Even though they can make all the money they want to and probably got tons of money, still stay in the bank. People still like certain things they like to do about their lives, and they want to do it the best they can. And people have a tendency who are in those kind of situations never stop working. So they go from basketball to doing something else, even if it's just commercials or something else, they still progress on something else. So they have a tendency to keep those doors open. And that's what I'm saying to you. It's the idea. You're a very powerful and talented artist, and you should really think about developing both of them so you'll have a choice. Maybe you might come to one day and say, okay, I'm tired of playing basketball because my knees hurt, and you want to make a choice to walk away. Well, I'm just feeling with the art stuff behind you and with you. You can walk away when you want to walk away, not because you got to make another couple thousand because you got yourself in debt.
that is something I was doing, and I was I've been trying to, like, since I'm young, it's harder for me to explain how I want to look, how I want to perceive myself, but
right.
I've been trying to also, because since I, like I said, I'm very talented in many obstacles, and I got to in my eyes, I see myself acting also, like, I've truly always wanted to do something of that type of nature, and I to tell you the truth, I've had people ask me if I wanted to act and stuff like that, and I've turned it down, but that's like, that was how I thought, but now that, since I'm older, of course, I've said I wanted to do it, but
remember one thing, when opportunities cross your path, it's coming to you for a reason. So take advantage of each and every one of them.
All right. this is very inspiring.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. I'm just saying, with the situation, the idea of things I've done it myself. I mean, when I lived in Colorado before I got my first shop, it was just the idea of accepting every opportunity that came to me, which led me right to where I wanted to be at. I didn't know at the time, but it did happen, okay? And I've actually owned two shops since then, so.
That's cool. So I'm guessing, put my mom back on. All right.
All righty. Well, thank you. You have a good one.
All right.
Come on,
thank you.
Crazy. You
okay. You're welcome.
Hello?
Yes, how are you?
Yeah, oh, my God. I'm telling him, hurry up. Listen, Donnie, thank you so much. I'm going to look for you tomorrow morning at 11, but I got to finish making this meal or I'll never get out of this kitchen.
No problem. I understand. And you have
thank
a great
you
night.
So
thank you
so much. You're doing amazing things, and I look forward to hearing you tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. You have a great night.
Thank you, Donnie. You too. God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Yeah. Dum, da, dum, dum, da, da, da. I'm going to sing a song, guys. You want to hear it?
Okay, if you don't, then you better start calling in here and just answer some questions. Keep me preoccupied. Anyway, well, if you want to call in and ask some questions, the number here is 646-721-9031, and we're all primed and ready to go to answer those questions for you. The person that was in the chat room waiting for a response, who is Will? Will seems to be, what do you mean? What do I mean by Will? Will seems to have a lot of energy, a lot of power, a lot of things going there. For some reason, I keep getting gravitated toward his name more than anything else. It was great. I mean, it would be great if someone could, in a situation like this, when you're asking a choice between two people, or you're wanting to know about those kind of things, it would be great if you could call in, and if you could like call in on Skype or anyway, just sit there so we could actually get some insights on that whole thing, so we could actually talk, so I could hear the vibration of your voice as well. Get that connection going on. I think it would open up a lot of things. Not saying I can't do it this way, but I will be honest with a lot of people. Typing is not my strong suit. The reason I started doing this kind of show is because of I can talk. So if you've ever... I can still hear them. Well... But we had a call in there, and we answered some questions. But now it's time to answer some more questions from all you good people out there. So, call in, let's talk about it, see what we got to do. Number here is 646-721-9031. And right now, the way things are going until February 14th, you can still call the show. And it's $10 for an hour reading and $5 for a half-hour reading. For people who are referred to, people who call the show, that's $45 for an hour reading and $25 for a half-an-hour reading. I'm also selling blocks of time, too, as well, until February 14th, which it goes for 11 one-hour readings is $100. 6 one-hour readings is $50. And 4 one-hour readings is $40. You can also get 6 one-half-hour readings, or 6 half-hour readings for $40 as well. So get in there and do it, and let's get in before the deadline and get it in there, because after that, it's going to be $125 for an hour, $75 for a half hour, and $25 for 15 minutes. So get in there and take care of that whole thing. If you want to give me a call and get a private reading, that number is 937-838-6337. Again, that number is 937-838-6337, and we'll take care of that for you. Also, the same situation goes like this. If you are wanting to advertise and you want to advertise through this show, give me a call and go find out how much it would cost to advertise on a show like this for 3 hours. And then tell me what it is, and I'll cut it in half, and we'll do business together. If you also want to sponsor the show or just... want to throw some money and donate some money to the show so we can stay just right where we are and have a peace of mind. Give me a call about that too as well, and I'm sure we can work out something. 937-838-6337. And also, if you just want to donate some money and then call me or leave me an email and say, hey, I said I donated some money and if there'd be a chance of getting a reading. I don't think there'd be a problem with that. So whatever's best and whatever's good for you. I'm also a person who does past life readings too as well. So those are very helpful and very useful tools, so get in there. But if you are if you're a parent who have a gifted child and you don't really know how to proceed with that whole thing, I work with kids and their parents and helping them to accomplish the tools to work with each other. But also I help the parents realize that their child is very gifted, but so are they. So this call me on that one too, and I'll be glad to sit down with you and do about, usually it takes about 2 or 3 sessions, but it's well worth it. Give me a call at 937-838-6337. And we're going to go back to the phone lines and do some readings. We've got 20 minutes left, so get in here and get you some questions answered. The number is 646-721-9031. I also have a show on a radio show here on the internet called 1000 Mike's Radio, and it's called Psychic Journey Man, so look it up and check me out. I'm on tonight at 11 p.m. So also with my friend Courtney,
Courtney is also going to be with me tomorrow as we do our show in the morning here on Blog Talk Radio called The Missing Spiritual Link. So tune in for that. It's on 11 o'clock, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I'm on Monday through Saturday, 6 Eastern. It's also 11 Eastern for the other show, too, as well. So check with us. We're doing a lot of history stuff on the show in the mornings, and we're doing past life readings and also starseed readings. So check in there. And let's go answer some questions. Hello, area code 204. You're on the air, and you're welcome to the show. And what's your name?
Hi, Cindy.
Cindy, how are you, Cindy?
Good. I was the one asking in the room there.
Oh, hi, Cindy. How you doing? I'm sorry. It was just the idea of the situation, and I get the impression because a lot of typing for me, and I'm not trying to divert it or nothing, but it just seemed like it'd be best to sit here and talk on the phone about the whole thing because. I actually, I don't know, I have a tendency with my, when I cut my fingernails, I cut the damn things too short. Now they're kind of a little painful. But, so Cindy, with the situation of Will and Ed, what I was picking up was, like, every time I would sit there and focus on the two names, it seemed like I was gravitated more toward Will. And I was just kind of asking why. Was that so, why are those two people
probably because I just saw him yesterday. No, it's probably because I just saw him yesterday.
Okay, yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, how important is he to you?
I don't know. Like, I haven't heard from him in, like, a couple months, and all of a sudden he was, like, back in the picture. Like, he's texting me like crazy.
Uh-huh.
And then we
so you saw him yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, when you sit down, still your mind, and be very quiet and just listen to yourself, what would you like to happen with this person, particular person? Freaking...
Honestly, I have no idea.
Okay. Well, it just seems sometimes when people, they ask questions, just because you have people crossing your path doesn't mean it's something major. It could be something totally just simple of actually you thinking, well, I wonder why Ed or Will, how come we haven't crossed paths? And it could be the idea you cross paths is because it's an answer to your question because that's exactly what you wanted to happen. Sometimes in the situation of manifestations, it's what you focus on, you manifest. So if you're sitting there worrying about certain things, as in why they're not happening, don't be surprised if they're going to happen very quickly. So I get in the situation, I got pulled toward Will, where I would actually look at Will as somebody who was more fascinated with you than you are with him. But also it seems like Will has a tendency to have a fascination toward women anyway. So,
that's funny.
Why is that?
He seems like a playboy, right? So I don't know.
That's exactly what he is. So therefore, if he seems it, you're more intuitive than you give yourself credit for. I swear you are.
I'm just a sucker, I guess.
But see, you can't say things about yourself like that. Are you a sucker? Or is it just the idea you need to listen to yourself? Nobody can do anything to you unless you allow them to. So therefore, if you think about that and go, okay, I'm not going to let that happen no more. But the idea with Will, I feel like in some ways, Will has pulled you in a couple times.
Yes, he has.
I just feel like the situation with Will is one of those things that it could be very positive. If Will could be positive, but then again, at the same time, it could be very bad because the fluctuation with Will. So when I get that kind of impression that pulls me back and forth like that, it's the idea of stop letting the world dictate your perception on what's going on and trust yourself. If you should avoid something, then you should avoid something, that no matter what you see on the surface. Because I get that a lot with you where it's like, shoot, how come I don't listen to myself? I've been right so many times.
Yeah, true enough.
Yes, we know it's true enough because you've been quiet now. So realizations have a tendency to put us in a state of being shy. I'm just saying, trust yourself. And,
well, I have a feeling about him already. I won't be hearing from him for a couple months again.
Yeah, he has a tendency to disappear. The situation with Ed, if I looked at both of these situations, I would just sit there and go, I don't see you with a boyfriend anytime soon.
Well, that's all right.
I feel like there's
No, no, I'm just saying, I feel like there's a lot of things that you need to focus on, which is you, and trusting yourself and a lot of things, but also there's some things that are coming to the surface right now where you're not too happy with them. So I would work with those and honor those feelings and then let it go. You're still, it's like you're, there's a boyfriend that you're still hanging on to.
Oh, God, I've been single for 3 years. I'm glad to be rid of the ex.
Yes, you are, but you're still thinking of him in a negative way. When you come to a point in your life...
I have to.
I'm just saying...
Honestly, he's not paying child support, so of course I'm going to be negative towards him.
I understand that, sweetie, but when you sit there and start loving people unconditionally and realizing they're just who they are and they're just acting the way they're going to, and they're not going to change anytime soon because that's just who they are, and to put that kind of energy out there could be the one thing that keeps you from getting child support because you're sitting there looking at him in that sense. So you're not putting any kind of different kind of energy out there that could actually work for you and work. Because I swear to you guys, when I sit here and talk about these things, this is not something I read out of a freaking book, okay? And I could say I did read that book, but I've also experienced it firsthand of things that just happened that defy reality. And the only thing I can trace it back to was I changed my thinking about it and how I felt about it. Seriously. And I changed everything. And when I hear people start saying things like these things and how much they do have an effect on the outcome of what you're trying to do, once you're thinking negative, you get a negative outcome. So, God, I wish I could take my life and go, okay, this is the apartment I got before I had money, which society would tell you, oh, you have to have money and do it, and you have to do this. I didn't have a job. I had a job, but it was one of those things of all these things happened, and the only thing I could trace it back to was I decided to stop making myself a victim, which means every kind of thought that you put yourself down with, you're making yourself a victim. And when you start looking at those things and start taking 100% responsibility for your life and realizing once you do that, it's not the idea of, okay, now I got to blame myself for all that stuff. No, it's the idea of realizing that you're the one that conjured it up. You're the one that caused it. But at the same time, since you're the one that did it, you can also turn it around as just that quick as well. So, yeah, you're the source, but you're also the source that all these good things happen as well. Now we just have to put our minds in a situation of saying, okay, how can I get that to happen continuously? And that's just the idea of continuously having faith in yourself. You cannot sit there and look at a person and say, well, he's a deadbeat. Well, deadbeats don't pay. And if you keep saying he's a deadbeat, then he's never going to pay. Is the law going to help you out? Like I said before, the idea of changing your thinking would change the situation a whole lot where everybody would be scratching their heads going, why'd that happen? And you'll sit there and say, well, because I want it to happen. You have to be totally honest with yourself, because a lot of people say, of course I want child support paid. No, that's not what I asked. I said, what do you want? Not what you think should happen or what the norm should be here. Everybody says, I mean, the law says, the norm says, when we do this, you get this. No, we're asking you what you want. And then you're going to start seeing that as you go down the whole thing, that all the things that fell into place and the way everything happened, it's because of your thinking and your decisions as well. You know, the situation. I'm just saying, when I first saw the whole thing, I've done this myself. I sit there and look at my ex-wife, and I just kind of like, everybody thinks their situations are bad. My ex-wife is married to my brother, so I have to deal with that every day. So what I did was I decided to just go with the flow and say, okay, they're married. She is who she is. He is who he is too. So therefore, I have to be who I am as well. By making that one decision to do that, we've actually found a way that it all works. I mean, when we first started this, did I ever think that might happen? Yes. But I also had to come, when I came to that realization, I also had to follow through to see if it made, make sure it happened. And it's the same thing with anything. Really, seriously, it is. I mean, when you sit there and start doing things and you start manifesting things in your life and they all defy what society has told you, you really start thinking differently of what I can do instead of letting the world tell you what you can do. They will always step in and say all kinds of stuff. So basically what I'm saying to everybody out there, are you going to let the world dictate your success or are you going to dictate your success? If you want to sit there and get angry because your ex-husband's a deadbeat, all you're doing is putting out negative energy. If you sit here and love that man like you did when you first met him, doesn't mean you have to get back with him. Doesn't mean you have to do anything with him. It's just the ideal. You would be very, very happy to get what you deserve. But somewhere down the line, you don't think you deserve it. Because if you did, you would have it. Here's, and we can sit here and say the world is the problem, but the world is not the problem. We live here as well. Everybody lives here. We're all on the same plane. So why is your life the way it is? Why is my life the way it is? I've had to deal with these situations too, and you know, sitting down and really looking at these things realistically, I wasn't too happy with it either. But you know, once I made the realization and started doing the work, I sure was happy with the result I got. And it was just me changing my thoughts and saying, you know something, I'm not going to be a victim no more. I'm going to go after and get what I want and focus on that. So therefore, when I walk away from the table, I am earning $2,400 a month. I am making $4,000 a week. That's what I meant to say, okay, guys? I am making $4,000 a week. I do have the relationship that I want. I do have a loving girlfriend. I do have a loving wife. And just kind of put the twist on there and say those things like they've already happened. Every day I sit down with clients and focus on nothing but them. And when I do that, and that's where I really want to be at, and I'm happy, I seem to attract just exactly what I need, want, and desire. So therefore, I'm always what I want to do, be, and have. I guarantee if you make that one decision to take 100% responsibility of everything that happens in your life, not the neighbors, not a job, not the government, not the life, then you'll find it all out. I'm kind of curious. Hello? Hello?
Hi. Hi, this is Andrea.
Andrea?
I'm from Washington, and we've talked a number of times, and you've invited me to call you. At this number? Is this the one number you want me to call you at?
Yes, I do. But I have like eight. I have just bear with me. I have eight minutes left on my show.
And I can
call you back in 15.
Alrighty.
Okay.
My number. Or you have it on ID.
You've been on my phone since the first time I talked to you.
All right.
I'll talk to you soon. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
So I'm just saying, everybody, once I sit down and said, I'm taking 100% responsibility for what is happening in my life, what's happening right this minute, I started realizing that the reason I needed to do that is because everything was happening because of what I was thinking and feeling and knowing and that kind of thing. So therefore, I had to do that because I wanted to change it. Once I changed it and realized that whole thing, then I was able to go forward and change my future. Because I just realized then the reason why my life was the way it is because of the way I used to think. And it's happening now. So therefore, I wanted to make sure the future was different. So I started changing those things. So do I have a tendency to get pulled back from time to time? Yes, I do. I'm working on that as well. So it's a progression. And we're always constantly working on things. Like right now, I'm trying to focus on a $4,000, actually $4,400 weekly income. So I'm going to stop trying to do that, and I'm going to sit there and say, I have a $4,400 weekly income. I am blessed every week with a $4,400 income. And I guarantee when you start saying things like that, or just say, a financial blessing is going to happen before the end of the week. I guarantee before that week's up, something's going to happen that's going to make you think and change your thinking. I've had it happen too many times. One particular, like I was saying before, I've noticed that in the process of paying bills, I've never had trouble paying bills, but for some reason I still worry about it. I'm trying to get rid of that thought altogether. Okay? I used to think about why are clients not paying me when they said and promised they would do certain things and never did. I got past that point of saying, you know something, every time something happens, it happens for a reason. So maybe the reason that person didn't do what they promised to do was because at the time they said it, they had all intentions of keeping that promise. But circumstances changed or their thinking changed where they couldn't do it no more. So therefore, let it go. And everything happens for a reason. Everything will be taken care of because it always has been. So the idea of focusing, say, a $4,400 financial blessing is going to happen before the end of the week. I'm definitely going to be sitting here wondering, be waiting for the results of that to happen. I let it go, and I go right to the point of saying, okay, here it comes. Here it is. There it is. So, if you're a person who needs to think something like on a daily basis and do like I do, I think it was a $400 financial blessing is going to happen before the end of the day. I mean, think about it, guys. I mean, think about it. What do you want? Not what you're willing to settle for. What do you want? And when I hear people talk about child support and that kind of stuff, I keep saying the ideal of energy that's being put out there, I mean, negative energy can create blocks. So, basically what you're trying to do could be one of those situations of you're working against yourself or standing in the way of that happening because you're so angry with somebody. I'm telling you guys, when you hate somebody, that is an energy that is also that's also an emotional connection to somebody else. When you learn how to detach from everyone and everything else, I guarantee you're going to see some different things, like Cindy out there. I wish Cindy would just sit down and start working with Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael and cut those cords, heal those situations, let go of that relationship, because it's amazing how that relationship is still affecting her to this day, and it doesn't even exist anymore. Yesterday is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. So why are you letting something that doesn't exist anymore affect your present life? And it's also affecting the future as well. So you look at yourself and do like I do. If I never see a dime of that money, who cares? It's ruling my life. Ruling, not ruining. Ruling. Where that's where my focus is at, where I could be focusing on myself and make twice as much as that. Because Cindy, you're a very talented woman. And you need to be focusing on you and your talents and what you want to do with your life, what you would love to do with your life, because that's going to solve your financial situation quicker than anything else. Look inwards, not outwards. So we're getting down to 3 minutes. And, some guys. So with the situation and everything else, 3 months on Will, and I'm not sure about Ed. I don't see Ed in the picture anytime soon. So thank you. I really appreciate that call, and I'm sorry you had to go so abruptly, or maybe you just felt like you needed to. That's okay. What? As soon as I'm done with my show. As soon as I'm done with this show. Thank you, guys, and it's been a really good show, except for Mom calling up and asking me to take the trash out. I'm trying to meditate and let it go. So, therefore, and I guess those unexpected things happen all the time, but, boy, I guess that's one of those things, well, it must be a thought that I must change so that doesn't happen anymore, where everybody respects my space. Let's all say it together. And my mom and my family respect what I do, and they respect my show and my time and space. Thank you. So, therefore, we're down to 1 minute remaining in the show, and I'd like to thank everybody for calling in. Thank you for the calls. And everybody out there who was calling in, and they were very long calls, don't worry about it. Like I always say, if you want to donate money to the show, please do so. We appreciate every dime that you send to the show, and it really just enhances everything we can do, and it gives us a chance to give more back to you as well. Excuse me. And plus, I do private readings as well, so call me at 937-838-6337. We have specials going on right now where you can get a reading for $10 an hour and $5 for a half hour if you call the show. And also, if you want to buy some blocks of time, we have a block going right now for 11 one-hour readings is going for $100, 6 one-hour readings is going for $50, and 4 one-hour readings is going for $40. And if you want to get 6 half-hour readings, that's also $40 as well. So give us a call, 937-838-6337, and it's going to be great. And you guys have a great night, and may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. Thank you, and have a good one.